about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Okay, here we go. Put 45 seconds on the clock, please. And away we go.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Let me ask you something. When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No. No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
It's time now for a full look at your forecast with Astrid. Maybe we can canoodle before you get into it about,
We're not going to be canoodling. What?
Oh, I thought canoodle meant chat.
And now.
I think the cutest thing is, like, with our connection, we're talking together, and then we'll end up finishing each other's...
We don't have a connection.
...sentences, right?
That never happens.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. A brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is 5:36, and it's Monday the 7th of April.
What's happening, you guys?
Hey, Bean.
Hi, Lisa.
How are you?
What's going on?
What'd you do with your day here, your free day here yesterday?
Yes, Lisa refers to the fact that because of the April Foolishness show on Saturday night, I'm actually in town and stuck around for some bad meetings today.
Yeah. We're all so excited.
I caught up with a couple of pals.
Mm-hmm.
Caught up with our friend Kevin, who you and I spoke with briefly Saturday night, who just recently accidentally texted photographs of his girlfriend to his wife.
Yeah.
What?
Caught up with that friend for lunch yesterday.
I wanted to get a few more details on that. He was trying to send them to Bean.
Yes.
And they ended up going to his wife.
Oh, really?
Yes. He called me. We were on the phone. He was telling me the whole story. And then he, by the way, they are separated and divorcing. So it could be, it could be a lot worse. It could be wife who, you know. So, and then he called me a few minutes later and said, hey, did you get any photos? I said, no, I didn't get any text from you. He said, oh, no. Because he went into his phone, and the last person he had spoken with, I guess, or texted with, was his wife, and he was thinking that, you know, he was sending to me, but I actually talked to him, so I wasn't on his phone and the thing. So
sweet.
So I caught up with him, and then I caught up with our old friend Richard Cheese last night, if you remember him.
You wow. and Cheese did the town?
Yes.
No kidding.
Cheese and I did the town.
Wow, the women must have been swooning.
No kidding.
Exactly. So, yeah, so, you know, just caught up with some peeps.
Well, that's nice.
Thank you for asking.
All right.
I didn't exactly get a lot of invitations from you all to hang out, so I found some alternate plans.
We knew you were booked.
Yeah, please.
Hey, we have a big Kevin Bean show for today, including a complete recap of Kevin Bean's April Fool's shows. But I want to start with a story that we've heard before, but here's the latest one. And for any of the ladies who have had a baby,
yes.
You've squeezed a human out of your hoo-ha. Please imagine how that happens without you knowing you're pregnant again. How
That's
did that happen
crazy.
Again? Aren't there signs, Kevin? You've lived with a woman who's pregnant.
Yeah, I would think there are a lot of signs.
Aren't there about 10 different ways you can tell you're pregnant?
And yes, but we
have big signs.
We have taken calls.
Yes, it happens.
Intelligent. Educated women who
we're not positive
whom it
that
happened
that's the case,
to.
By the
well,
way.
They sounded like it. Yeah. I mean, I was shocked at
people who thought it would never happen to
yes.
them. Like they hear about other women and they go
and they scoff.
Exactly. Well, here's Jennifer Scollin, who woke up on Saturday morning with terrible stomach pains, thought she had a bug of some sort. She decided, hey, I better go check that out, maybe check in with my doctor. Well, it turned out she was in labor. This is a woman, by the way, who has had a previous child, so you'd think she would recognize
yes.
some
wow.
of the symptoms in her own body.
That's shocking that it's not a first time.
Right. Or a 15-year-old girl who
right.
just isn't paying attention.
No clue.
We didn't know at first it was a baby coming, but once we did, it happened fast. She lives in Connecticut, by the way. She and her boyfriend called emergency services. The mom soon gave birth to a healthy 9-pound baby boy in an ambulance parked in her driveway. 2 pushes, and he was out.
Babies come out of the butt, right?
9 pounds seems like a baby you should know is in there.
That's a monster.
That's the other thing. I always assume that these are big girls.
Yeah, it doesn't
say. And it doesn't say.
Well, it says she did not gain much weight while she was pregnant. She did not exhibit any telltale pregnancy signs. She reportedly continued to menstruate until about a month ago.
Wow.
All right. Well, God was playing a trick on her.
Yeah.
This article also mentions a science writer in 2011 who said that 1 in 2,500 women do not realize they're about to have a baby until they go into labor.
That's
pretty high statistic.
It
is. The worst surprise ever. Worst
1 in 2,500.
Yeah.
I mean, you think you have a stomachache and the next minute you have a baby. You're in no way prepared for that. mentally at all.
Oh, I can't imagine.
But your stomach probably feels better.
I think so. So anyway, so that happened.
Wow.
That happened.
That is crazy.
Easiest pregnancy ever.
Yeah.
Time.
Look at it like that.
It's going to be time to take calls on that again.
I think so.
I mean, we really are going to need to. It's the only way to do it. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I hate you! I know what that's from.
Me too. Me too. Is it Californication?
No, it's actually girls.
Oh, girls.
That's Shoshana.
Nah. On the program today, we have one of the comedians from April Foolishness. Jim Jefferies will be here.
Awesome.
Very excited about that.
He was great,
by the way. He was.
As he always is.
Yeah.
And he was drinking pretty hard.
He was.
Yeah. After the show, he was cornering people and talking way too loud.
Good for him. He was having a good time.
I love it. We also have Tom Berenger on the program today talking about a movie called Bad Country that Bean and I are just in love with. I mean, I probably have gone to see it in the theaters 4 or 5 times.
I don't believe it's out yet.
Oh, okay. Matt Money Smith will be on the program today talking about the Final Four Championship, which is tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk to Joe Levy from Billboard Magazine about this new Wu-Tang album. If I understand it correctly, they're going to make one album. One record, physical, what do you call it, acetate? Is that what you call it?
Yes.
And that's it. They're not going to make copies.
One of a kind.
They're not. You can't get it on iTunes.
And apparently they've been offered $5 million for the one copy so far.
That's crazy.
It's the smartest move in the world, as long as you don't care about nobody ever hearing your music.
Right.
Do we know if the person who buys it is able to do whatever they want
with it? Well, that's one of the things I'm dying to talk to Joe about, because it seems like, I don't know, at $5 million if you'll make a profit, but there is a number at which you could buy it and then you release it and make money off of it.
Yeah.
If you're allowed to. I mean, you own it. It seems like you should be able to.
Absolutely. I don't know what the interest is in a new Wu-Tang album, right, but I guess we'll see. And tickets to the MTV Movie Awards as well on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. It is 5:54.
This is going to sound weird, but Coachella is this weekend.
All right, Coachella.
No.
This Friday, yep.
Oh, Coachella.
No, it's not your time yet, Rodney. Coachella is happening this weekend. We've got tickets you can win this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 a.m. like we do every day this week. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, boys and girls.
What's going on, man?
Ages? Stuff, man. People are dying. People are having babies. Movies are making money. It's all happening out there in the big
world. The world just keeps turning, doesn't it?
It does indeed. It is Monday morning. It means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Captain America, The Winter Soldier. The final number isn't in from yesterday yet, but roughly $100 million.
That's it.
Yeah.
Just $100.
That's insane.
97, somewhere in there.
I mean, did give or take a mil. Did they know that was going to happen?
Yeah, expectations were high. They were thinking around $90 million, but it even outperformed their best. Sweet. Most optimistic assumptions. So.
Now, I heard best April opening ever.
Yes, indeed.
Of any movie in the history of the box office.
Wow.
But not a lot of big blockbusters open in April,
right,
so it makes sense.
But, well, because it used to be Memorial Day weekend was the kickoff of summer. It gets earlier every year. Now it is already summer.
Yep. And, of course, Christmas time, another time for blockbusters. But Captain America was a smart move to release it in sort of a dull period in terms of blockbuster competition, at least. So they did very well for themselves. It's already done that overseas, by the way, 100 mil, so.
Oh, it did the 100 mil before it opened here?
Yeah.
Oh. How's the movie, you guys?
I haven't had a chance to see it yet.
It is
busy all weekend.
Awesome.
Really?
Yeah. It's awesome. Great.
Is it loud?
Great action.
It's so loud.
Very loud.
It's loud, okay.
Captain Loud,
makes
America.
Sense.
Captain Loud.
You don't have to ignore a storyline because it's stupid just to get to the other stunts. It's a good movie. It's really well done.
Noah was second with just $17 million, because it goes to show you that everybody was seeing Captain America this weekend.
$117 million.
Divergent, $13 million. God's Not Dead was fourth, and The Grand Budapest Hotel was fifth. Then The Muppets and Muppets Most Wanted, Mr. Peabody and Sherman. Sabotage. 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 Was eighth. Need for Speed and Nonstop rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. He's gone, Kevin.
He's gone.
I know you're going to miss him.
Oh, no.
Mickey Rooney. Mickey Rooney has passed away.
Mickey Rooney.
Mickey Rooney.
Short guy?
One of the biggest movie stars of all time.
60 Minutes?
Used to just.
Never mind. Mickey Rooney was a giant box office star in the 30s and 40s.
Ah.
Believe it or not, that's how old he is. He was 93 years old before he passed away. Mickey Rooney.
It is crazy to see a guy who went through silent movies and vaudeville and radio and then movies, talkies, and then television. I mean, what an unbelievable career. Singer, dancer.
He was in show business for 80 years.
Did it all. And by the way, Kevin, working right up until the end. I mean, he was in Night in the Museum. He was in the Muppets movie from a couple years ago. I mean, the guy continued to be in show business.
More than 200 films.
Nominated for a bunch of Oscars. Just a legend.
200 films.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
A crazy body of work.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
And while he was busy doing all those movies, he also was able to work in 8 marriages.
Eight. Wow.
8 marriages.
Don't you always wonder with those people, like, don't you get to, like, marriage 6 and go, I can't do this. I'm not good at it.
Yeah.
8.
I guess the romantic heart springs eternal, man. Wow. You always hope the next one is going to be the one. While we're talking about marriages, this is a great story. Honey Made. Familiar with Honey Made graham crackers?
Of course.
Yes.
American institution, right?
Yep.
They did a commercial called This Is Wholesome, where they celebrated all different kinds of families. Interracial families. There was a couple there. There was two gay dads who had a son and a newborn. And a regular family. All different kinds of families. All, every stripe was represented in this commercial. This
yes.
is wholesome. This is family. This is love.
And everybody accepted it?
Everybody was happy with it.
That's great news.
Isn't that weird?
Well, who can disagree with any of that?
Oh, no, wait a minute. The 1 million moms.
Oh, they're back.
All 5,000 of them got together. And they released a deluge of complaints and anger focused at Honey Made, including this charming little quote. Nabisco should be ashamed of themselves for their latest Honey Made and Teddy Graham cracker commercial, where they attempt to normalize sin. This commercial not only promotes homosexuality, but then calls the scene in the advertisement wholesome.
Good read.
Thank
wow.
you. Thank you so much. Honey Made could have ignored this or hid under the typical corporate doublespeak, but instead they produced another commercial.
Oh, great.
Where they take all of the complaints that were sent to them, and they have artists roll them up into tubes, and they glue them together to spell out the word love in a giant empty room.
That's
how
so
about that?
Cool.
It was very cool. And then they took all the positive messages they got regarding that commercial, and they rolled those up and glued them together, and it fills the entire rest of the room. It was composed of this little section.
Wow.
That
them.
So
wow.
pretty much it was a giant F you to the million moms.
Creative.
Why hate people just because they love each other?
Well,
where's that coming from?
It's the Bible, Bean.
Oh, it is the Bible.
Pick up the Bible.
I forgot there was a research book associated with this.
Why are 5,000 women named the 1 million moms? Could there be some kind of accounting?
You can name yourself anything, I think it turns out. Today's celebrity birthdays. Movie director Francis Ford Coppola, 75 years old today. I don't know if you guys remember this or not, but I interviewed him once for this show. I went to his house.
Yeah,
taped about his winery. He had a new movie that was coming out at the time as well, and I got a chance to sit with him for a couple hours. And
were you in awe?
It was one of the greatest afternoons of my life.
Yeah, how would you not be?
He comes out of the kitchen. He goes, do you want a cappuccino? I said, yeah, that'd be great. I figured he's probably going to have his manservant make it for me. He goes, okay, I'll be right back. And he goes in the kitchen. He makes me a cappuccino.
Wow.
I said, the director of The Godfather just made me a cup of coffee. He was a very nice guy. It was a fun day. 75 years old today. John Oates of the legendary Hall and Oates, 65 years old. Jackie Chan, 60 years old. Russell Crowe turns 50 today. And actor Bill Bellamy. Wasn't he in, wasn't he Glick or Slarp in Fastlane?
Oh, I've been Slurp.
Was he?
I don't know.
It was Peter Facinelli and Bill Bellamy.
Oh,
wasn't
was it?
It?
Okay.
I don't know. I'll double check it.
I love Slurp.
Maybe if we have anyone working in the office, they could look that up. Ticketmaster!
That's cute.
Yeah, I know.
That's cute.
I have to pretend they're listening once in a while.
That's cute.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Yeah, you got your Oscars. Who cares? Your Golden Globes. The one the actors really want to win is that MTV Movie Award. I mean, that's the one you work your whole career for.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a super fun show. And if you want to be in the audience to see it in person, we got a chance for you to win your way in about 30 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. Also this hour, we'll talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Plus, Jim Jeffries will join us.
Speaking of Jim Jeffries, Speaking of all the comedians at April Foolishness, and first let me say thank you to the Kevin and Bean listeners who came out and filled the shrine on Saturday night with the proceeds going to some great, great charities. We know that these people are funny. We've had all of these comedians in on the show, and you can tell that they're funny people. But when you see them do their act, you realize how funny they are
and
how much better they are than everybody else.
That's true.
I mean, they are professional comedians, and it shows. Man, are they good.
They're all headliners.
Yes.
And the other thing is they're all a little bit – what's the word? They're not as confident as you would think. They're all standing around the back going, oh, I hope he doesn't make me look bad. Oh, I hope I don't have to go. I hope I don't have to go after that guy.
That's a surprise to me too, because, and maybe it's like this for everybody. Maybe we just assume when we see people doing awesome things, we see somebody playing professional sports or somebody going into space or somebody being the president. Maybe we think, well, that's a different cut of person than
right,
I am.
Right, right.
I would be terrified doing that, but he's that guy, so he knows what he's doing. I think maybe what we learned a little bit on Saturday night is that those people are – celebrities are just like us, you guys.
That's right.
That's what we learned. And they are – even though they've done thousands of shows, they're walking out onto a huge stage with a lot of competition to win the night.
Well, and that's the thing. They don't generally work with five or six other comedians in a night.
That's right.
You know, they
usually
have their
own big
show.
That's right. Yeah. They're the big name and everybody else is trying to be them. But, you know, you go out there and you're Doug Benson and you're no better or more famous than Jim Jeffries.
Right.
You know?
What would you guess is up with the crowd up front? What do you think?
So freaking drunk.
What do you think that deal was? Bus section?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They
were on the party bus.
That was your people, Kevin.
That was my peeps, I know. Yeah. But they were rough.
Yeah.
The comedians are great at handling hecklers, aren't they?
Although when you have 20 at a time, it's not as easy.
Yeah. I couldn't pick a favorite. You know, sometimes you go to these shows and you go, well, like Brad Williams, one year, he was clearly, he won the crowd.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You walked out of Saturday night and you went, I had so many favorites. You know what I mean?
I'd say Jim Jeffries for me and Taylor Williamson. I thought
Taylor was
incredible.
So good.
He killed.
Yeah, he really did.
And Eddie F. too, by the way.
Yep. Eddie F. killed, yeah.
Eddie was great.
Yeah.
But we had a lot of fun. Backstage at those shows is always interesting. It's cool to see that the comedians are all friends with each other and all hanging out and stuff.
Yeah.
Was Doug Benson, did he bring all that or did he get thrown that as he walked from his car to the venue?
It's usually a mixture of both.
Because he sure had it.
Yeah, yeah. And you could follow your nose to his dressing room. No question about that. Other comedians were in there. Fans were in there. Everybody wanted to get into his dressing room.
No one enjoys his life more than Doug Benson.
That's true.
He's such a happy guy, isn't he? And there were so many people who were tweeting in the audience from the Shrine on Saturday night going, how is this guy still standing, much less so funny, as baked as he appears to be?
Yeah, and he just functions.
And we've seen him five times in concert.
Yeah.
I think he was higher Saturday than ever.
He brought it.
It was unbelievable how high he was.
Well, thanks again. We really had a great time. It was the 6th annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness show. We did have one guest who was unable to be there in person because, not a joke, he is fly fishing in Montana with Huey Lewis.
Seriously?
That's Mad Libs right there.
And that's our good friend Jimmy Kimmel, who wasn't there in person, but he did actually open the show. And since very few of you were actually lucky enough to be with us on Saturday night, we thought you might enjoy some of his remarks.
Hey, party people. I'm Jimmy the Sports Guy. And it is my pleasure to welcome you to this great event. You know, when I first started working for Siegfried and Roy, Kevin and Bean, they hated charities. They hated charities. They hated minorities. They hated Rick Dees. May God rest his soul. They hated everything. You know what? They were too busy with something called themselves to care about anyone else. And then Bean got breast cancer. And
what?
Just like that, everything changed.
How about that?
All of a sudden, his beloved A cups were in danger, and he was scared. And so he put down the cocaine and prostitutes and Christmas music, and he started doing good deeds. He taught Kevin to read. He showed him how to write most of the letters of the alphabet. He turned his life around. And in 2009, Kevin and Bean established this night of April Foolishness, and it has been a huge hit every time. In 5 years, this event has raised more than $80 million for a variety of causes.
Wow. I don't think that's
important causes, like pizza for Africa, sending pizza to Africans in need, pets over people, This is an organization that funnels federal money away from food banks and after-school programs and into building comfortable travel beds for adorable pets.
Right.
And, of course, tonight's beneficiary of your generosity, a great organization, Hand for the Homeless, which puts thousands of local teenagers back to work. So much good has been done, but none of it happens without you. So thank you. And now, without further ado, because I know Bean is anxious to kayak back to his animal sex fortress, please welcome the legendary, the unstoppable,
okay,
Kevin and Bean.
Thank you, James.
That was awesome. And thanks again to everybody who supported the April Foolishness 2014. Great local charities, Cedars-Sinai, NICU, and, of course, the Fisher House, too. You can get more details on those at KROQ.com. We'll see you there next year.
We promised you tickets to the 2014 MTV Movie Awards. They are happening this Sunday at the Nokia Theater. We are looking for contestants right now. Your chance to earn your way in at 1-800-520-1067. If you want to go, and you can go this Sunday, you can call now and win here at KROQ. It's Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show. That means Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey, what's going on, buddy?
This and that. How are you guys?
What was it like for you to have to explain to the young people in your newsroom who Mickey Rooney was?
You know what? That's so funny you say that. I was at home catching up on the following last night.
Right.
And I got a text from somebody on my staff, Mike Walters, and everybody had already jumped on it. We broke the story and got the tip, and people knew, they were conscious of it. And I think part of it is that, you know, there were some things going on with him in the last couple of years where he said that he was a victim of elder abuse, so he was kind of in the news a little bit.
Gotcha.
But remember, he was also in the Muppets movie. He was in Night at the Museum.
Yeah, he was running to the end, right.
But I was very proud of the staff that they knew this guy, and everybody jumped on it.
I'm glad also, because sometimes when old people die, you feel like they're not appreciated, and Mickey Rooney is one of the giants of the 20th century, one of the biggest entertainers in the history of the world. And if nothing else, I hope people do seek out a little bit of the work that made him famous, because he was a great entertainer. So.
Great entertainer, and spanned many, many... I mean, he's got to be one of the top three child stars of all time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So
Married eight times.
Check
Ava
it.
Gardner, Ava Gardner, no less.
Ava Gardner, right, who was also married to Frank Sinatra, right?
There you go.
Boy, did she have a weird life.
Wow, no kidding.
A weird life.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to some of the other stuff at TMZ.com. I hadn't heard anything about this. In fact, I guess I hadn't paid much attention to the real-life Jordan Belfort. Now, he's the guy that Leo DiCaprio plays in The Wolf of Wall Street, but he's making news right now. Why, Harvey?
Well, he apparently... You know, it's funny because we got this tip, and we've been checking this out for a while now, that he lives in Manhattan Beach or Hermosa Beach, right around there, right in the border.
Right.
And he has a house there on the beach. And we weren't sure whether he was leasing this, whether he owned it, but he owes $110 million.
To who, the government?
To the government on behalf of investors that he swindled.
Okay.
And, you know, it turns out that there are at least some of these people who believe that he owns as many as three houses in that area, and they're now trying to go after him in California for all of the things that all of the judgments that they got back east. So he's not off the hook. People are really mad, and they're going after him. Even one company that was owed $27,000. It's probably going to cost them that to enforce the judgment.
Right.
But they're so mad that they've come out here and they're trying to enforce it in California.
How long was he in jail for the crimes that we saw in the film Wolf of Wall Street?
Oh, God. You know what? I forgot.
Okay.
I forgot.
We had somebody, I wish I could remember who it was. It might have been comedian Doug Benson, but we had somebody recently on our show, Harvey, who was telling us, and I had never heard this aspect of the Belfort story before, was telling us that his cellmate or somebody in his cell block when he was in prison was Tommy Chong. And that Tommy Chong is the one who told him he had to write a book and kind of guided him in the early stages of how to write the book.
How weird.
Pretty bizarre.
Do you remember,
right,
who it was, Beer Mug? You're shaking your head. Was it Doug Benson who told us that?
It might have been Benson.
I think it was Doug Benson.
That's a good guess, I think.
That,
wow.
Yeah, yeah. And that Tommy Chong was kind of the one who was responsible for Belfort going to Hollywood. And,
my God.
I mean, you should follow up on that. Because
No. When we get Tommy Chong out, we're going to ask him.
Because I think
what do you think of your handiwork?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think that is just a fascinating, fascinating story.
The weird thing about this, the way it's written, though, and tell me if I'm reading this wrong, is that the government sort of realized that he was living, you know, high on the hog after they saw the movie. It was almost
You know what? I'm sorry for not saying that. Absolutely.
Is that how they find out information?
Because the movie got so much attention, it put him back on the radar.
They went, hey, what about that real guy?
Hey,
what's he doing now?
What about that guy that owes $110 million?
That guy owes
exactly.
money and he's living in a mansion?
All right. I want to ask you one more thing before we let you go here, Harvey, to your meeting. And that is, last week we were talking to Dax, I think, about Chris Brown. And he was telling us about Con Air, about the real life Con Air where you're handcuffed to go cross country to Washington, D.C. for this jail. You said on your site that it took or is still taking 4 days to get across country?
He is not there yet.
What?
As of the moment we speak, we just checked.
I can ride my bike there in 4 days.
Are they lost?
He left on Thursday. What happens is...
Did he fly Malaysian Air?
Oh, God. Come on.
Comedy plus time. Tragedy. Sorry. Tragedy plus time equals comedy.
So what's taking so long?
So what they do is he went to San Bernardino, which is only an hour.
Okay.
But then they start flying, and they land, they hopscotch around the country. And every time they land, they take them to a holding facility until the next available whatever mode of transportation is. And sometimes it's another plane. Sometimes it's a bus where they'll take him to another city and then get on a plane there. So he's been hopscotching for 4 days. And this ain't Virgin Air.
That's hysterical. It's like being on the bus that makes 40 stops between your work and your house. You got no choice.
Except you're handcuffed.
Yeah, except you're handcuffed.
Are they picking up other people?
Yeah, no, that's what they do. I mean, it's this. Yes. It is a bad situation.
Yeah.
He is not used to this.
Well, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. That's what
I'm sure we all feel the same way. Take as long as you need. Just keep Chris Brown miserable.
All right. TMZ.com is where you go for all the world's breaking entertainment news. TMZ airs on Fox Monday through Fridays at 6. TMZ Live Monday through Friday at 4. And TMZ Sports airing weekends at midnight also on Fox. Harvey, have a great week, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
You too, guys. We'll see you.
106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:37.
Thanks so much for tuning in here on a Monday. Jim Jefferies, one of our great comedians from April Foolishness 2014, is going to be joining us in studio later on this morning. We also got Coachella tickets at 9. Right now, though, we want you to go to the MTV Movie Awards. They air this Sunday night at 9 on MTV, hosted by Conan O'Brien. We're going to play a new game called El Rey de las Películas.
Hola, muchachos y muchachas. Please welcome El Rey de las Películas.
That, of course, is the King of Mexico.
Mm-hmm. That's me.
There's hey,
also
King.
The King
hey,
of movies.
What up?
So, King, the game that I understand for that we're playing right now for Movie Awards is the contestant is going to be on the line,
and you're
going to be describing for them one of the nominated films this year at the MTV Video Music Awards, Movie Awards, rather, and all they have to do is give you the title of the film, and they're in.
The title of the film, yeah.
Well, that sounds easy.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm a movie buff, you know, just...
Sure.
I would say it's Ralph Garman, then me.
Right.
You know, and I see everything, so...
Dave, you see nothing. You see, like, two movies a year.
You've never seen a James Bond movie, for instance.
That's true, yeah.
Were those ever nominated for MTV Movie Awards?
He can't, probably.
He can't speak Spanish either. That's why he's the King of Mexico. So
this is everything.
No.
This sounds actually very easy. Yeah, this is easy.
So let's meet our first contestant. This is going to be our boy Paul. He's on line one. He'll get us going. So Paul, again, Dave describes a film. All you have to do is, it's a nominated movie at the Movie Awards this weekend. All you have to do is tell us the name of the movie and you're going for reals, okay?
That sounds good.
Easy enough, right, Paul?
Good luck. Here we go.
All right, this movie has an actor nominated for Best Shirtless Performance.
Okay.
Yeah, this movie's about some dude. He's, like, rich, and he makes all kinds of money, does all kinds of drugs, and just parties. And, like, he bangs his hot chick, and, you know, he goes around the world and just makes lots and lots of money.
Wolf of Wall Street?
Wow!
Exactly.
El Rey de las Películas.
Yes.
Why is Dave not doing a movie review show? That was
that was
flawless.
Good. It was strong. How do you not get that? Brandon, hi.
Hi.
Hey, Brandon, that was easy, right? You got the last one, right?
Yeah, that was easy.
All right, cool. This one's just as easy. All right, this movie has an actor nominated for Best Villain. All right, so there's this vessel that's on the ocean, and some dude, like, he's a pirate. He's like, give me your boat now. And he shoots up people, and, you know, and this dude's fat, and... And he punches him in the face, and
wait,
you know
what dude was fat?
Who was fat?
I'm trying to remember who's fat in that movie.
The dude, yeah. And then there's like guns, and the Navy SEALs get involved, and it's pretty cool.
Captain Phillips.
Yeah.
Wow.
Who's fat?
Who's fat, Dave? Who is fat? Captain Phillips was really fat in real life. So.
Tom Hanks.
In real life, now he's describing.
Huh. Okay. Yeah, I'm just mixing the books,
El
you know.
Rey de las Películas.
Well, this is turning out to be super easy. Who's up next?
Only one more pair, by the way. Alex, hi.
Hey, good morning, guys. We're from Mayhawks.
Hi, Alex.
It's not that they're easy. It's just that I'm really good, and I really know these movies.
That's what we meant.
Yeah, Alex, you got both of them, right?
Yeah, I got the first one. The second one was like, whoa, Captain Phillips isn't fat. But,
yeah, I was confused by that as well.
By the way, the pirates don't go, arr. That was a whole different kind of pirate.
No. All right. Well, this one's the easiest one of them all, probably. All right. It's about this. It's nominated for Movie of the Year, and it's about this chick. She's like smart and she's good at stuff and she fights a monkey and she's really hot and she's on fire and stuff like that.
The Hunger Games, Catching Fire.
Yes!
How does he do it?
I don't know.
El Rey de las Películas.
Wow, 3 for 3, kid. Yeah. Way to go,
well,
man.
Yeah, there's that.
We're going to have to do that again, I think, a little bit later.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you have more they haven't even done yet.
Oh, I got plenty more.
All right, there you go. Congratulations. The three of you are going to the MTV Movie Awards. Thanks for playing. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, and it is 6:49.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday morning. What's going on, man?
Because it is a Monday. We always look at the top 10 movies at the box office, see what people went to see over the weekend. It looks like they went to see Captain America, The Winter Soldier, just destroying everything in its path this weekend, pulling in $96.2 million to take the top spot in the weekend's box office race. More than five times the take of the second movie, Noah, which came in with just $17 million this
Ralph weekend. Is Captain America, is that the one with what's-his-face who's going to quit acting?
Chris Evans?
Yeah.
He's
Captain America, right?
He is Captain America.
How do you make $100 million in a weekend at the box office and go, not for me.
He's got at least three more scheduled stops in the Captain America costume, so he will be doing at least three more films.
Okay.
And he's since amended his statement saying he didn't mean he was going to quit forever. He's just going to take a break. Captain America's all said and done. He wants to direct some films, and then maybe he'll get back to acting. So.
I read that they've got these Marvel movies. You talk about three Cap movies. That they have these Marvel movies mapped out to 2027.
Yeah.
Wow.
They know what characters they're going to add and how many more Avengers movies they're going to make. And they got Guardians of the Galaxy already set up. It's coming out, joining the franchise. So. A lot in store for comic book fans everywhere, which is awesome. Sad news, Mickey Rooney has passed away. You may not know the name or... If you do know the name, you may not know the extent at which he was at one time one of the biggest box office draws in the world. But he was. He was a star in the 30s and 40s. Best remembered for doing a series of films called the Andy Hardy films. Also did a bunch of musicals with Judy Garland. They worked together quite a bit. So over 200 films to his credit. Worked for 80 years... in the movie business.
Worked for 80 years. That's crazy.
Passing away this this weekend at 93. So you don't get that kind of career very often.
No kidding.
Sad news for me personally. Richard Marx and his wife are splitting up.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Why for you personally?
Because I love Richard Marx.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm sad that he's sad.
I love Richard Marx.
I hope they're consciously uncoupling.
What's the problem? Any details?
He was married to his wife, actress and singer Cynthia Rhodes, for 25 years.
From Animotion.
That's right. She was also in Staying Alive and Dirty Dancing. Mm-hmm. And they had one of Hollywood's big success stories in their relationship. But after 25 years, I guess they decided they didn't like each other after 25 years.
So would you say he should have known better?
File. Can I tell you a quick story?
It's really nothing when you say stuff like that. Just doesn't.
Can I tell you quick?
I was right here waiting for you to say that.
Quick story about my embarrassment. Something happened to me that was very embarrassing. I was working on a radio station in Phoenix, and we were supposedly bringing Richard Marx out, and I was supposed to go out and make the announcement. So I went out, and I stood in front of the crowd, and I grabbed the microphone, and I started talking, and it wasn't on. The mic wasn't on. And I heard from the back, another radio station said, hey, welcome to, what was it, 95.5?
Y95,
welcome to Y95's concert. Here's Richard Marx. And Richard Marx came running out on the stage, and now I'm still standing in the middle like,
what?
It takes my mind a couple of seconds to go, I need to just walk away. Totally burned. Just
so
standing
another
there.
Radio station hijacked the sound system for a radio show that Kevin was his station was presenting.
And then I thought, well, I got to take the attention back to our radio station. But he was out. They were playing. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to walk off.
How weird that someone from another station
bizarre.
Hijacked the microphone.
We did that stuff all the time.
Wow, but radio wars
radio
there
wars,
in
exactly,
Phoenix.
Yeah. What a burn. I was just standing out there like a total idiot.
That same radio station, Ralph, came to Mr. Weatherby's wedding and put bumper stickers on the cars, in the parking lot of people who were at his wedding.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty genius.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, actually.
They also egged me once when I was on the air. They egged me.
Yeah. Oh, good times.
I was on the air and
it's escalating. Someone's going to get killed.
Get nailed with eggs. Good times.
Radio used to be fun.
It was good times.
I'm going to go down to Frosty and Frank's house now and start doing things to them or whoever the hell they are or whatever that show is.
Drop trowel in front of their studio window or whatever.
I'll teach them, man. It's time to get real.
Rob Lowe wants you to feel bad for him.
I don't.
I do not at all.
Complained to the New York Times this weekend that there has been and continues to be, wait for it, an unbelievable bias and prejudice against quote-unquote good-looking people.
He did not.
He certainly has not been at a shortage for great
he
jobs.
He was on the West Wing, and that wasn't because he was good looking.
And Parks and Rec for all those seasons, he's doing fine.
Complains when he was a young actor, no one took me seriously because I was so goddamn pretty.
Is he kidding?
Nope.
Oh.
I'm sorry, you're so attractive,
bitter?
Rob Lowe.
Didn't his career start out with those Brat Pack movies where he was a huge star out of the gate?
Yes, but they didn't take him seriously, man. It was just eye candy.
Okay.
They didn't know how deep his talent went.
He actually is a very good actor.
He's fine.
And you know what? We know that.
Yeah.
Because he gets roles.
That's fine. Right. But if he was ugly, he wouldn't be working nearly as
much. I feel his pain.
You know what it's like to be looked at like a piece of meat?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
It's happening. Star Wars. Excuse me. Star Wars is being filmed as we speak.
Wow.
Awesome.
They are making the new Star Wars movie.
I did feel a disturbance in the Force.
It doesn't really work when all the other microphones are on.
No.
That whole cough button thing where no one's supposed to hear you cough.
Right.
The Disney chairman, Alan Horn, leaked the story when he was speaking to students at Loyola Marymount School of Film and Television. So we're actually shooting it right now as we speak.
How about that?
Now, it's likely just second unit stuff, some location shots and things like that, but production has started on the latest Star Wars movie, so it's kind of exciting. And they are taking another TV series and making a big screen version of it. Looks like Vince Vaughn has been tapped to play James Rockford in The Rockford Files.
Okay.
That sounds
good.
He
was a PI?
Yep. The Rockford Files was a series with James Garner. It was on for many years in the 70s and 80s about a private investigator who was sort of down on his luck, lived in a trailer on the beach, and it was always dealing with his grouchy father who also would come by, and he was it was the first realistic depiction of the private investigation.
Yeah, where he actually got hurt.
He got beat up all the time, was always scratching for a buck, couldn't pay his bills, and it was a very entertaining series.
So good.
It was so good. And Vince Vaughn will apparently play Jim Rockford on the big
screen. It's a good choice,
I think. Yeah. I think so, yeah. They were trying to reboot the series at one point. Dermot Mulroney, I think, was tapped to play Rockford. That did not go past the pilot stage, so now they're going to do a big screen version.
There sure have been a lot of 70s shows that have been, you know, remade.
Yes.
You know, you think about that Kolchak, The Night Stalker, and Hawaii 5-0. I mean, it just seems like there's Starsky and Hutch. Yeah, there's so many of them.
It looks like we may have a new Bond villain also. Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Sure. Chiwetel does good work.
Great actor.
Dude, he does good work. You know him from 12 Years a Slave.
Oscar nominated for 12 Years a Slave.
All right.
Yeah. He was the black guy in that movie.
He's reportedly up for the role as the bad guy in the next James Bond movie, which will star Daniel
Great choice.
Craig. Yeah, it is a good choice. He's a very intimidating, scary dude. So I hope they just remake Live and Let Die. Remember that one with Roger Moore?
No, I never saw that one.
With Mr. Big, the stereotypical black drug dealer with the bad guy?
Mr. Big.
Yeah. Why'd you go kill this honky? It was awesome. It was James Bond in Harlem. Today's celebrity birthday. Speaking of the Rockford Files, James Garner, the actor himself, turns 86 years old today.
Wow.
Francis Ford Coppola is 75. Of course, director of such classic films as The Godfather. Speaking of The Godfather, the estate that was Don Corleone's in The Godfather movie. Remember when they're having that big wedding at the very beginning of the film?
Right.
It's a luxurious estate. It's up for sale. It's right here in Los Angeles, just off of Sunset, if you'd like to own the Godfather estate. It's got 5 buildings, 28 bedrooms, 36 bathrooms, a wine cellar, a gym, an 8-car garage, a lit tennis court, a media center, a nightclub, a full massage room and spa, two screening rooms. All this could be yours for the low, low price of, any guesses?
Well, that's got to be at least $2 million. Yeah. I mean, when you start talking those kinds of amenities.
This is our real estate tycoon here. with that guess.
That has to be at least $100,000.
$100 million, more like it, right, Ralph?
It's $135 million.
Oh, come on.
If you'd like to purchase. If you've got that laying around, you want
to
purchase
So you're coming to me on the day of my daughter's wedding, and you ask for $135 million for that house?
Well, I can't refuse you anything. Today's celebrity birthdays, I just did some of them. John Oates, Apollon Oates is 65, Jackie Chan is 60, Russell Crowe turns 50, and Bill Bellamy is 49. I'm Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz.
So the University of Connecticut Huskies are just Florida's kryptonite. They're just,
yep.
The Gators just cannot get past them for whatever reason. So that sets up a national championship game for the NCAA Men's College Basketball Tournament tonight versus Kentucky. We'll talk to our friend Matt Money Smith about that later on this hour. First, though, let's welcome our old buddy Joe Levy back to the show. He's the editor of Billboard Magazine, the Bible of the music industry. Hey, Joe, what's going on, man?
How you doing?
Doing fine. Always a pleasure to have you on the show, and especially when we've got an interesting topic like what the Wu-Tang Clan is trying to do. Now, for a lot of people, they may not even remember the Wu-Tang Clan at one time very popular in this country.
Yeah, indeed. Revolutionized the world of hip-hop 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
but biggest thing in hip-hop 20 years ago, spun off solo acts like Method Man and, of course, the RZA. Famed for directing such movies as The Man with the Iron Fist.
That's right.
It was so funny. I saw them one time in concert, and boy, what a rotating cast of people they had.
Well, they had like 30 guys in the band.
It seemed like at all times there were 15 people on stage, and then, you know, 10 minutes later, it was a whole different 15 people. It was the weirdest thing ever.
It's a community. It takes a village.
They have, it's like watching college basketball. You never know what substitutes are going to be up on stage. So the reason the Wu-Tang is in the news right now is they've released a one-of-a-kind album. Tell us about that, Joe.
Well, now, it hasn't been released yet.
Okay.
It's still under locked guard.
All right.
In Morocco.
In Morocco.
Of course, that's
one of a kind. There is exactly one copy of their double album, The Wu, Once Upon a Time in Shaolin.
Okay.
One copy.
All right.
That's all that will ever exist. This is their art project statement about, is music worth anything? They're going to take this one album, put it on a museum tour. If you want to hear it, you got to show the armed guards, the security guards at the museum. You've gotten a recording device. You're going to have to buy a ticket. It's going to tour museums, and then it's going to be auctioned off. One copy, and RZA tells Billboard that somebody offered them $1 million already for it, and somebody else offered them $5 million already.
Now, we'll be able to download it, though, on iTunes, right?
No, not necessarily. It's unclear. What RZA has told us is that if somebody wants to pay them $1 million or $5 million for it and then sell it, like say, hey, by the way, I'm uploading this to iTunes. Anyone can buy it now. He's like, that seems like it would be okay. We're still looking into this legally, so they don't even know exactly what's going on. But the thing, as I said, it's sitting in its handmade silver box in Morocco under armed guard.
What do you think the effectiveness is? And this is a serious question, Joe. We laugh because this is such a weird, oddball story. But what do you think the effectiveness is of the intention, which is to say, hey, artists are sweating blood to make this music for you that is essentially worthless in the digital marketplace. It ought to be treated more like art. The Mona Lisa is an actual painting that people love, and they understand there's one of them, and they go visit a museum. That's how our music should be viewed. Is it pointless, or are they making a statement?
No, it's not pointless.
Here?
I mean, it's got us talking about it, and it's got them more attention than they've had in a long while. And it's got people talking about exactly this. What is music worth? Is it worth anything? And you know, artists have had all sorts of ways of handling this question recently. Last time Madonna put out a record, if you bought a ticket to her show, you got an instant download for her album.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody actually used the code to buy the record once they had it.
And we remember the pay what you want, the Radiohead thing that they did within Rainbows, right?
In Rainbows model, which was taking it from the whole different direction you determine, actually a similar direction, but the crowd, the mass of our audience is going to determine the price of this. In this case, the highest bidder is going to determine the price.
So somebody's going to bid on it. They're going to own it. Is this the group? Does this group have enough gravitas or whatever it is to make this big of a statement, or are they kind of out of the limelight?
You know, it really depends. really depends on what the bidders have to say. As he tells us, they've already been offered $1 million for it. Is that true, or is he just playing the PR game?
Right.
I don't know. If they sold it to a record company, for a record company to put it out, they would maybe get a $250,000 advance.
Isn't that interesting?
Maybe. And I'm sure the record company would find a way of ending the whole thing by saying, you owe us money.
Right,
that's
yes.
What record companies do.
Yep.
And in this case, they've come up with a unique and artistic hustle, which is, we say this is worth something, the whole world is interested, even if nobody bids $1 million on it and they take it on a museum tour and people pay to see it, hey, they just found a way for an album to do a live show.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's true.
That's right. And I'll say something else. We see so much about how many different ways there are to market and present new music to the public. And we've seen every strategy in the world. We saw Lady Gaga, who went out and did every TV show and interview and blog and live appearance she could possibly do to when she put her record out. Then we see Beyonce. We just wake up one morning and it's there. At least the Wu-Tang has people understanding that the Wu-Tang is still alive and still making new music, and now people probably really want to hear it as a result of all of this press, right?
That's right. And I think what Beyonce did, and that's a really good point, Beyonce did the surprise album. She delivered it in a way nobody had before. Hey, you get videos, you get the record, you have to buy the whole thing. And about 600,000 people in the space of a week said, I want this, and right. I'm willing to pay more for it than I usually do for just an album, because I get Beyonce videos too, and they're sad. Sexy.
Right.
And by the way, they are.
Yeah.
and here's the thing. I think artists can follow that path, the secret release, and that the Wu-Tang path, it's going to work once.
Once.
Nobody
right,
else.
Exactly.
Nobody else can come along and do
What do you think the Wu-Tang Clan would sell if they just did a conventional release of this new album? They'd probably sell 60,000 copies the first week, and it would be way less the next week, and then it would disappear if it didn't have any hits, right?
60,000 would be a lot for a legacy act at this particular juncture
yeah.
of their career. You know, it's been a few years since they've had a hit record. 10,000
wow.
would be plenty for them to sell the first
So less than Johnny Cash, that's what you're telling me.
Yeah, maybe.
So this is a pretty smart move then.
Yeah, I think this is a great move for them. I think this is people talking about them. It looks smart. And it's got people talking about the subject. So
exactly.
It's an artistic statement. It's a commercial statement. It's great for them.
I would guess most people, though, would respond to it like I do, which is, I'd like to hear it. That's an interesting thing, not going to a museum and paying for it. You know?
Yeah.
I might go to a museum and pay for it. I might do it, but it's going to be a strange way to hear a hip-hop album.
Absolutely.
And to their credit, they've been working on this thing supposedly for 6 or 7 years. There's, as you pointed out, a lot of guys in the group.
Right.
A lot of members of the Wu-Tang Clan. You better come up with a way of making some money. Everybody wants to get paid.
All right, last question. When is it going to start its world tour?
We believe it's going to start its world tour this summer, but let's wait and see what happens.
Fantastic. You can read more about this at billboard.com. Joe Levy, editor of Billboard Magazine. Always great to have you on the Kevin Bean Show, sir. We'll do it again soon.
Good to be here.
Coachella tickets you can win at 9 o'clock this morning, like we're doing every day all this week, like we've been doing this whole month. Are you broadcasting from the desert on Friday, Kevin?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you're going to be a mess.
Friday and Monday.
You're going to be a mess.
Yeah. Friday, not so much. Monday, that's going to be rough.
So you can win your tickets, and if you're going to be going out to Coachella, I think there are going to be some events that you can swing by the K-Rock House and see some stuff. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. We'll be unveiling more as we get a little bit closer to the weekend. That's all coming up.
Bob Larson, Arizona Reverend, offers exorcisms via Skype.
Convenient.
Well, absolutely convenient. Because sometimes it's so hard to get an appointment with your exorcist.
Yes. If you've got a demon inside you, all you need is a computer, and this guy will have him cast out by
now,
Skype.
I am a little bit surprised
Pretty awesome.
To hear that just because, now granted, all I know about exorcisms is what I've seen in movies, but they seem awfully violent.
They do, yeah.
And
stubborn, too.
Yeah, I just can't imagine that a demon would just sit in front of a computer screen and talk to you.
But on the other side of it, they usually try to like go into somebody else in the room.
Ah.
So you're safe if you're doing the exorcism
Good point.
From your home or wherever he does it.
These exorcisms are a real thing that people do. This guy, Bob Larson, claims that he has performed more than 20,000 of them in the last 40 years. That's a lot of damn demons.
Wow.
More than 20,000. In case you're wondering, a 60-minute Skype exorcism cost about $295, which seems like a reasonable fee for somebody to remove the devil from your soul.
If you have the devil in your soul, that is not that much money.
So we can't afford that, but we asked producer Dave if there's any way we could get Mr. Larson on the phone, and I believe we're Skyping in with him. Is that right? We're actually going to – I think we're set up to – There he is right now on the screen.
Wow.
Hi.
Good morning. Good morning. How are y'all?
Hi, Mr. Larson. Now, this is not
Reverend Larson, please, if you would.
So sorry.
I say Reverend Larson.
Reverend Larson, yeah. So this is not, you're not charging us the $300. We get like a complimentary 3 minutes or something?
Absolutely. I'm not charging you. Although I have you know, if you do use my service, it is a tax-deductible donation to the International Missions Program.
So, well, that's nice.
Not only do I free your soul from Satan, but it's also tax-deductible as well.
Now, why are there so many demons? How have you performed 20,000 exorcisms?
Excellent question. Why are there so many demons? I like to blame the gays.
Really?
What? Yeah. And the Jews.
Really?
What are you talking about?
This group you don't like?
No, I believe it's all part of Satan's plan to possess us. So usually if you're gay, you got a devil inside you. Or if you're a Jew.
I don't think that's at all factually accurate, Reverend.
Well, we'll have to agree to disagree on this one point. Because I have done 20,000 exorcisms. Mostly on Jews and gays.
Now, when did you realize or come up with the idea that maybe you could do it on Skype?
Well, there was a man in Norwegia.
In Norwegia?
Norway.
Yes, he was Norwegian. He lived in Norwegia.
Norway. The country's called Norway, Reverend.
Right. And he had a devil inside him.
Right.
And he said he could not come to me, and I just had no interest really traveling to him. So we tried doing it over this here Skype that we got going, and it was amazing the success I had.
Hmm. Now, one expert in the field who is the director of the International Catholic Association of Exorcists mm-hmm. says that exorcisms cannot be done over the Internet.
What's his name, the man you're quoting? You remember?
Yes, it's Isaac Kramer.
Jew.
Okay.
But what does that have to do with it?
Unnatural hatred for Jews.
I'm just saying he sounds like a Jew.
Even
Isaac Kramer?
Right, but even if he is, that doesn't mean he doesn't.
I'm guessing he's gay, too.
Why would you say that? He's just saying.
I just get a distinct feeling of penis.
It sounds like sounds like you need an exorcism of some sort.
Actually, I'll have you know, one of you there, was there a bean there?
Yes.
Why do you ask, Reverend?
Well, your producer said many of the people who work there with you at the station being believed that you are actually possessed by a demon.
Oh,
and they've asked
on.
Me if I would cast that out.
That's probably true.
Yeah, and I said I would, in exchange for this little interview, I'd do it free of charge. I would cast you out via Skype. I would get rid of the demon inside
That's
you.
Great.
So why do you have this demon inside you, Bean?
I don't have
question.
I'm neither gay nor Jewish, and I don't have any demons inside of me. I'm fine.
Let's see if I can hear the demon inside you. Let me just listen real quick.
Where's the plane? I want to know where the plane is. Because I'm going to send all those people to hell. Where's the plane? I check every morning and I check at night. And I can't find the plane.
I think there's a demon inside.
That's inside me.
That's a demon.
Terrifying.
I will cast it out. Get out of here, demon. You evil demon of Asperger's. Get the Asperger's out of him, please. Oh, no,
I'm not leaving. I like maps. It's Monday. That's IHOP day.
Wow, that is a tough demon. Get out of it. I demand, in the name of Christ, I compel you, demon. Get out of this giant, lanky, weird-looking body. Get out, demon, out.
No, I'm not getting out. I like it in here. There's plenty of room because the organs are leaving one by one. It's nice and spacious.
No.
Well, there you go.
Well done. Thank you, Reverend.
One of the people that I saw just briefly with my peripheral vision Saturday night at Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness was our old friend Matt Money Smith, who was there, but I didn't get a chance to talk to him. I'm happy to say he's on the phone with us right now on K-Rock from the Petros and Money radio show on AM 570. Hi, Money.
Hello, Bean. Hello, Kevin.
How thanks are you?
Thanks for hosting. Had an absolutely fantastic time.
It was fun,
show.
Right?
Who was your favorite?
You know what? I knew Jim Jeffries, obviously, and he is as good as anyone out there.
Yeah, he kills.
I was not familiar with the America's Got Talent guy.
Yeah.
He was a big surprise for people who don't watch that show. They had no idea how incredibly funny that dude is.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, and everybody was great. Don't get me wrong. By no means am I trying to put this, you know, to make this out to be some sort of insult. But it's funny when you see a guy that's a pro like Jeffries, just how different it is.
Yep.
You know, someone, what he can do with 20 minutes versus what other people can do with 20 minutes is pretty remarkable.
And I got to say, Eddie Eft really blew me away, too. He was great. I mean, there's so much pressure on a night like that to be the headliner, as we were talking about earlier, because you're up against all sorts of other headliners. Right. But he came out and the crowd loved him.
Yeah.
And they should. He was terrific.
It was a great night. And Bean, you did not just catch me out of your periphery. I said hello, and you said, get the hell away from me.
Oh, nice.
In a few minutes. Nice. I never came back.
Sweet.
There was a difference there.
It was pretty crazy at the party backstage, that's for sure. So,
right.
Anyway, well, we're glad we have you on. As always, NCAA College Men's Basketball Tournament is about as exciting as sports gets. I mean, there's a reason nobody got the billion-dollar bracket, because who would have ever picked a number 7 versus a number 8 seed for the national championship? This is crazy.
Yeah, if you used history as your guide, you certainly would not have. It's never happened before, a 7 and an 8. You know, usually you get at least one of the 1 seeds in there.
Right.
And if you don't get one of the 1 seeds, then it's usually a collection of 2s and 3s.
How do the Huskies beat the Gators? How is that their Achilles heel?
It's interesting.
Because no one else can beat Florida.
They were on that 20-game win streak or 23-game win streak, whatever it was, and the last loss they had was to the Huskies. And what happens, you know, you always hear the different formulas for how you win an NCAA tournament, senior leadership, or you got bigs that can guard the paint, or you have guards that can score. And in this case with UConn, they've got Shabazz Napier and Boatwright in the backcourt. And even though Florida is stout defensively and they're bigger than everybody, they just could not keep up offensively. Every time they pulled to within, you know, 2 points or 4 points, you've got those two guys just pouring it on and forcing you to continue to score. And they have not been. They just weren't able to keep up with them.
There were so many close games throughout the tournament. Florida was part of some of them.
Yeah.
Yet
that
game wasn't close. I mean, and they ended up losing by 10, which is a nightmare for them.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and the good thing is, even though it was a bit of a blowout, it was still a good game. It was an interesting game. You didn't turn it off, you know, at the 8-minute mark because they made that run inside the 5-minute mark. And I think we're set up for a heck of a championship game, which usually we're not.
How did you do in any of your groups?
Tough to say. Because nobody's going to do great. Nobody
right.
had. I guess anyone that decided to take the flyer on Kentucky and all that talent. You know, they've got those Harrison twins who were kind of a disappointment all season. Julius Randle's. He could end up on the Lakers next year. I mean, he's a top 5 pick. So I think if you decided to kind of roll the dice there, then that's probably who's going to win the majority. I had Michigan State winning everything. I did have Wisconsin in the Final Four, so that helped me a little bit. And that was, I mean, that's arguably one of the best Final Four games I've ever seen.
In the party bus bracket, I came in last.
Dead last. Did you have to go against Felt Tip, my old nemesis?
Oh, Felt Tip was tough.
I didn't this year. Felt Tip wanted to get involved, but I wouldn't let him.
Let's talk about that Wisconsin-Kentucky game.
Yeah.
You thought it was one of the greatest games ever, not just because it went down to the last second, but just because it was like that the whole game.
Yeah.
Man, those guys were playing.
Life.
They were playing, you know. It's funny. You see sometimes people turn it on when they need to. I felt like that game they had it turned up to 11 from the tip-off.
Yeah, it was. And that's, I think, the old, the metaphor of a heavyweight fight and trading punches, and that's what it was. You know, I mean, anytime someone made a big shot right down at the end of there under the floor, you had another big shot. I guess the only disappointment in that game is that arguably, you know, the best player in college basketball on the floor, Frank Kaminsky, just didn't have a good game.
Right.
You know, and that's probably the only negative to take away from it. But you just see, and it's funny for people around college basketball, and this is really the only time of the year that a lot of people get into it, Wisconsin's like one of these great stories. Their head coach, Bo Ryan, he's beloved by everybody. He's been around forever, and this looked to be kind of his shot. You know, this was the one team that looked like they could end up doing it for him. So I think there were a lot of fans of him, and then it was kind of like, you know, the antithesis. You know, here's John Calipari with his 5 freshmen and kind of doing everything the wrong way, and nobody likes the direction that college basketball is going in.
Right.
So it really was sort of a contrast of, you know, it was a battle of two styles, contrasting styles, and it was like the team, oh, yeah, I guess the the talented freshmen, the one and done's, are going to do it again.
Yeah. Now, Kevin, this would be an excellent time for you to bring up your yearly complaint about the national championship game.
Don't get me started.
Money, you know what it is? You know what Kevin hates about tonight more than anything on television all year long?
What does he hate about tonight?
I love the Final Four. I love March Madness.
Okay.
I love the championship game. I love everything about it. Until they play that goddamn
Luther Vandross song.
Luther Vandross song. And then they put the highlights to it.
One.
So you hear this and you go, what's up my TV? Sing it, Luther. The ball is tipped and there you are. You're dribbling up the court. You're a shining star. Come on!
And there you are. You're running for your life.
Now, Money, do I remember incorrectly? Did they try some different song in recent years?
No, but they've tried. I mean, I think it's pretty much been the song for 20 years.
Okay.
Close to it. And remember, it used to be Teddy Pendergrass that did it, which was great, because then all you could envision was him, you know, singing about getting some chick into his bed, but he's really doing one shining moments, so that was spectacular. And then it was Luther. And then remember, like, 3 years ago or something, they had Jennifer Hudson do it.
Oh, right.
And
that's what I'm thinking
not
of.
Not embraced at all.
Why does everybody who sing this song die? You ever think about that? Maybe there's some sort of a curse with one shining
because
moment?
Because it's that bad of a
Superman
song.
Curse, man. Yeah. So, but you know, I guess the old story is they didn't like to pay the publishing fees, is that they were getting hammered by whatever song they had decided to choose. So this guy, because, you know, Luther didn't write it. It was just some random songwriter. And gave it, and basically they're clear. So they don't have to pay the
financial decision.
A Beatles song or whatever they might want to play.
All right, listen.
I guarantee they want to play anything but this if it wasn't a money issue.
In our remaining...
Around, it's full circle, man.
Nope.
It's so bad, it's good.
Nope.
It does seem... For an event that's young and hip, it does seem so coast, doesn't it?
Yes, it's kind of like light rock.
Yeah,
jazz.
It's a weird unfit. Like, why not just have Kenny G come out there and just play at the end?
I could see that. Yeah, maybe Tesh on the piano, just going nuts.
Hey, listen, Money. We very much appreciate you coming on from the Petrus of Money AM 570 weekday afternoon show, and we did really just want to talk about the college basketball. But since you're here and we have 60 seconds left, I have to ask. I know you were there at Dodger Stadium on Friday for the home opener. You were there throughout the game to see the crowd booing at the decision to bench Yasiel Puig because he was late for warm-ups. Is this kid a problem this year?
Yeah, I think it was a problem last year. I don't think there's any question about it. And it's just trying to figure, you know, and certainly the marketing department of the Dodgers isn't doing the team any favors. But, you know, they do their job, and their job is to market the most popular player, and he's the most popular player.
Right.
But he's a young kid, you know, and he's a wild kid, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, he's just, you know, I mean, this is all so darn new to him.
You mean that in a bad way when he can't hit the cutoff man, though, right?
Exactly. Well, you know, would I like to see him be a little more responsible out there if I'm the Dodgers? Sure, but I think, you know, when you hear Vin or Don Mattingly or Tommy say it, they make a good point, which is, look, that's kind of what you got to take. You know, that's
the whole package.
Part of it. Yeah. And you got to figure out if the balance is right.
But you also have to be part of a team in a team sport. And you can't just decide if everybody else is on the field at 9:30 that you're going to walk out at 10:15 and it's cool.
No question. And I think, you know, one of the best things I heard, you know, or at least probably the most forceful thing I heard was Jerry Hairston Jr., who was on the team last year and he now works for Sportsnet LA. He said, the one thing that really bothered me was over in Australia, when Adrian Gonzalez, who's one of the most respected players, not just on the Dodgers, but in baseball, when he's trying to have a conversation with you and you start yelling at him, he's like, that's not okay. That kid needs to shut up.
Gotcha.
That guy starts talking, you shut up, you listen, you absorb, and you figure it out. And I think that probably cost him quite a bit of credibility with his teammates that he's
doing.
Petrus and Money Radio Show on Fox Sports Radio, AM 570, again this afternoon at 3. Thanks, Matt. We appreciate the time.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7:53.
Lisa's getting bitter like me. I like it.
Is she?
Yeah.
What'd
you
say? You're rubbing
fun,
up on me.
Fun. Lisa's getting all sorts of cranky.
Hey,
Lisa has to put up with a lot of testosterone in this
room. It is true.
Oscar-nominated Tom Berenger.
Oh.
Great actor.
Yes.
Been in so many great movies throughout the years, including like Training Day and Inception and obviously Major League,
Platoon
for God's sakes. Yeah, a legend. Anyway, he's got a new film. He joins us next hour here on The Kevin Bean Show. And our old friend Jim Jefferies, who we haven't seen since Saturday. I can't wait to catch up with Jim, find out how his Sunday was.
I like Jim.
He's coming up too. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday. What's happening?
I want to make a quick correction. I was talking about the Godfather house last hour.
Yes.
The one that's up for sale. Turns out it wasn't the house that Vito lived in. It was the house that the movie producer lives in that scene where he's trying to get the Frank Sinatra-esque singer out of his contract, and he sends Duvall there to talk to him.
Oh, I see.
And the guy puts up a stink, and so, spoiler alert, they give him a little present in his bed. When he wakes up, he finds that little present.
That's a terrible present.
It's a great present.
Yeah.
That's that house, that home. Very elaborate estate. That's the one that's selling for $135 million. If you're going to spend $135 million on a house, I wanted you to know which one you're getting.
Yeah, okay. Because I'm sure a lot of our listeners were calling their realtors.
They were.
They
were like,
about
hey,
it.
I want to get that Godfather house. Turns out it's a different house.
That one, to me, is worth only about $132.
Yeah.
You could talk about
it. I'd knock a couple off.
Yeah.
Since we're talking about movies, it is Monday. We take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Captain America, The Winter Soldier, made about $97 million this weekend. Made over $100 million overseas, where it was released earlier last week. So so far, its take in a week, about $200 million.
All right.
I wonder how much Stan Lee makes off of those Marvel movies based on characters.
99% of it goes to Stan Lee. So he's made $96 million this
weekend.
That's not
bad.
Not bad at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they give Stan. I think they give him some porridge and a rub down.
I think he was doing
some teenage Asian girl gives him a rub down. I think that's it.
He was doing all right before they started making these movies. And yes. I can't imagine what he's doing like now.
I believe he was a gun for hire like many of those people were.
Meaning he only
in the
got...
comic book industry. So he got his weekly salary to do what he did.
And that's it.
They don't have creator's rights. At least they didn't back in the day.
Wow.
Some people worked out better deals for themselves than others. Bob Kane, for example, worked out a separate deal for himself with DC Comics throughout the run of the Batman comic book. He always got a little extra bump for being the creator. But a lot of those guys just were doing work for hire, and they got paid, and that's it. So, I think that's why Stan is at every comic book convention ever.
Yeah.
Because he's got to make a couple bucks. Speaking of comic book conventions, I'll be at WonderCon coming up down in Anaheim. In 2 weeks, the 19th, the 18th, 19th, and 20th, I believe. And so I'm going to give away some tickets for that later in the show. So if you want to go to WonderCon and you want to see me and hang out.
Is your comic book going to be out by then? Is that why you're coming
out? It isn't, but we will be doing a panel. The 75th anniversary of Batman is this year, and so they are lining up a panel of a lot of Batman artists and writers for the comic book, and I will be on that panel.
That's awesome.
Talking about my new Batman comic book that will be coming out in the summer.
That is awesome.
Pretty cool.
Five-year-old Ralph Garman could never have imagined.
I won life.
That's awesome.
Noah is second in the box office, then Divergent, God's Not Dead, and the Grand Budapest Hotel. Muppets Most Wanted, Mr. Peabody and Sherman, Sabotage, Need for Speed, and Nonstop were your top 10 movies at the box office. Last night, I'm sure you're all glued to the television to watch the Academy of Country Music Awards.
I taped it. I'm going to look forward to it when I get home.
Nope.
Well, I hate to spoil it for you, but here's...
La 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 la.
Here's who won what. It was great. Taylor Swift won nothing.
All right.
Video awesome. Of the year, by the way.
All right.
She shared that with Keith Urban. She appears
Tim
in a
McGraw.
Video.
That's
with,
a win.
Yeah, so she's got like one-third of an award for one-third of a video that she
Love
did.
It.
Everything else, blanked. Zero. Nothing. Good day, sir. You get nothing.
People.
So good.
People know what they're talking about.
Awesome. She went home brokenhearted.
Give her all the awards.
Love
Stuck
it.
Her head in the oven.
Give her best person ever.
However, she did sell out the Mercedes-Benz Arena in Shanghai, an 18,000-seat venue, over the weekend. Sold it out in 60 seconds.
Whoa.
60 seconds.
That's not bad.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah. And while we're talking about tours and things, listen to this weirdness. That also sounds kind of awesome. This touring company of Jesus Christ Superstar, you familiar with the musical Jesus Christ Superstar?
Yes.
They have an all-star cast that is wacky. That's just traveling all over North America. Listen to this weird cast. Michelle Williams of Destiny's Child is playing Mary Magdalene in Jesus Christ Superstar.
She's a great singer.
J.C. Chazet of NSYNC is Pontius Pilate.
Okay.
Brandon Boyd of Incubus is Judas.
Really?
Judas Iscariot in the film.
Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem is not in the production.
Oh.
British actor and singer Ben Forster is Jesus in it. And as King Herod, Johnny Rotten. Johnny
what?
Rotten of the Sex Pistols is King Herod.
What a bizarre...
How do you get those people together in one production? Anyway, this tour begins on June the 9th in New Orleans and then wraps up on August 16th in Philadelphia. They're playing venues all over the...
Are they coming to Southern California?
It does not say here the entire listing, but you can go to JesusChristSuperstar.com apparently to get all the info if you want to check it out. But what a weird grouping.
That we have to ask strange. The King to get us Brandon on to talk about that.
Yeah.
What that must be like for him doing live stage play.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Bill Bellamy is 49 years old.
How's his brother, by the way? Do we know?
I don't.
Was he one of the Bellamy brothers?
Oh. Come on, you're doing that on purpose, and you can't play the yay for yourself. Come on.
How did Beer Mug know that, by the way? How did he get that?
I said
hey, don't put file. That in the file.
Oh,
no. What the hell?
Hey. That's not going in the
How
file.
How dare you? That's you trying to get in the file.
That's me just letting my love flow. That's all that is.
Oh, man, no, there's just no, not no, enough no, no, no. I F no. you in the world.
Russell Crowe is 50 years old today. His brother Jim Crowe made those laws, didn't he?
Come on, asshole.
I didn't say that. We all know he was in the Black Crows. Come on.
Jackie Chan is 60 years old today. John Oates of Hall & Oates is 65. Francis Ford Coppola, legendary movie director, turned 75 years old today. And James Garner, star of The Rockford Files and Maverick and many, many motion pictures, is 86 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Saturday night, we're at the Shrine Auditorium for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014. Again, thanks to everybody who came out and supported some terrific local charities. Thanks to all the comedians who played the bill. I'm looking at the OC Register review of the show. Oh. Here's my favorite part. The last sentence of the thing. Jim Jefferies' set was spectacularly offensive. The Australian comic and star of FXX's series Legit went for the jugular with his stories, which tended to take hilariously disgusting turns at the end.
Yeah.
Spectacularly offensive is what you go for, right, Jim?
I'll take that, sure.
I love that. Here's
absolutely.
What I love about that is that you feel bad for laughing, but you cannot help yourself.
Well, it's funny as hell.
I
think I said this to you. They're all stories about my girlfriend. And I said to her, she goes, please don't tell stories. Because there's a story about her having sex with an NBA center.
Right.
Which she used to.
Right.
And then, of course, when you realize this, you think that's why that part of your body's damaged. Right? So,
yeah, you can't stack up well in that.
Yeah, so the thing is, and my girlfriend's like, please don't tell her stories. I'm like, you live in a big house. We all have to contribute.
That's right.
I was trying to figure out, because I met your girlfriend Saturday night,
yes.
And she's lovely, and she's so pretty, and she's so nice, and I thought, why does she put up with Jim saying these horrible things about her on stage?
Because I'm rich.
Yes. That's what it occurred to me is he must be making. And I was so surprised to think how much money you must be making from basic cable.
I don't make anything from cable. The stand-up is where the money's at.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then you're getting the job done, my friend, because there's no way she should be sticking around for that kind of nightly abuse from you.
I don't think she will forever.
Yeah.
You know, I think I've got another couple of years in that.
I do want to say that you did show up Saturday night and you got nothing for it, and we totally appreciate that because
all the money goes free, right?
The money goes to charities.
When I showed up, I said, well, what charity is it? Because I know last time was the Wounded Warriors, and I wasn't sure. And I'm good with most charities, but like maybe if you turned to me and went, oh, it's the new charity, racism, and I go, oh, no, I'm not up for that one. So I still like to check which charity I'm working for, but
by the way,
gigs for basically any charity.
If any comedian would be okay with the racism charity, it would be you.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Let's be honest.
Of course.
Did you have a good time on Saturday night?
I had a tremendous time, and I had a few drinks afterwards. I went to the...
A few?
To the edit.
That's what you're calling it, a few?
I'm talking after.
Oh, yeah.
I had a few after.
After.
And I went to the Edison or something, and it's very weird when you have a small child, not as much me, I would have left after my set. But my girlfriend's like, no, we got the babysitter till 2. That's the deal. So she's like really...
Got to stay out the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. You got to get hammered the entire time. And we went out to the Edison, and I haven't been to a nightclub in LA. It's a lot of Armenian people.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Okay.
I didn't know. That's what the world's different from when I used to go out to the clubs. Because I used to go to nightclubs in Australia where it was a lot of like surfers.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's a different area. That's not the same influence.
I know, but I'm
influence.
Not. I'm all for the Armenian group. I like the Persian women. I was walking around going, this is fantastic.
It's like a lot of Kardashians in one place.
I love it. Yeah, I love
it. Can you tell the story about the person trying to take a picture of your girlfriend?
Yeah, I think he was being a jerk, or he might have been being funny. I'm not 100% sure.
I'm not positive either, but it was funny to me.
Three of you. And I assumed that he me and you two. Three of us people, right?
Right.
And then, so I got in and put my arm around him to the smile. He went, "Who are you?" And I went, "Oh, evidently no." He went on a photo with my girlfriend.
He had no idea who he was.
Yeah, yeah.
Either he was being funny or a jerk.
Or he wanted you to take the photo of your girlfriend and us.
I have had that a lot where people go, "Hey, would you like an autograph?" And you go, "How about an autograph?" And you go, "Sure." And they go, "Who should I make it out to?" And you're like, "All right, okay." you've had that.
You know what's funny? Those people come up to us, occasionally on a much smaller basis, but every once in a while, somebody will say, "I want Bean's signature, but not Kevin."
Yes,
yeah,
that's
really?
Always They'll very funny
say that to you,
and vice versa. Yeah,
I did a gig in Marco Island on one Thanksgiving weekend when I first got to America, and there was literally 20 people in the room. But two of the people in the room were Brian Austin Green and Megan Fox.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
Right? And, all right? And she obviously came from there, I think, and she was down there for Thanksgiving with her sister. Her sister was there as well. Not a bad-looking girl, but lives in the shadow of the best-looking woman on earth.
Sure.
And her husband was there. And his whole life was, he was like a construction worker that's, "I'm banging Megan Fox's sister." that was his whole MO, right? And anyway, so I afterwards I go out and have a cigarette. Brian Austin Green comes up and has a cigarette with me. And then before I know it, I'm in a group of three and I'm with Megan Fox. And they said, "Do you want to go have a drink?" So now I'm drinking with Megan Fox and Brian Austin Green. And they're in this little square, and there was about maybe 30, 40 people in the whole square, not even including the comedy club. But then as news got out, it got to about 200 people just started to show up.
Wow.
And they were all just staring at us sitting in the restaurant.
Right.
One after the other, people come up to Megan Fox, and they go, "Hey, can I have a photo?" And every time, very politely, she would go, "Look, I don't do photos. I'll sign anything you want." And she was wearing a baseball cap and trying to downplay the whole thing. And I imagine with all this stuff, you don't want to look your best when you're represented as the hottest girl on earth,
yeah.
Right? So she's,
a lot of pressure.
Yeah. So this happened all night until eventually this really fat sort of guy that looked like the comic book guy from The Simpsons walks up and he goes, "Hey, can I have a photo?" And Megan goes, "Actually, I don't do photos. I only do..." And then he looked straight past and went, "Jim, I've been watching you online for years."
Oh, my God.
And he didn't even recognize Megan Fox. And Megan Fox took the photo of me and him.
And oh, is that right? That's the camera. Awesome.
That guy probably to this day doesn't know.
That's awesome. Jim Jefferies here on the Kevin DeBean Show. By the way, just by coincidence, Jim has a TV show that's on the air on Wednesday nights on the FXX channel. It is called Legit, and
yes.
Legit is getting real, by the way, Jim. I know we got to take a break and come back and talk some more about it. But you left us with a real cliffhanger last week, I'm sorry.
Yeah, sort of.
That I'm terrified to see what happens next.
Yeah, it's a wrong TV show, which means it's right for us.
And
right.
Kevin came in this morning, and I'll say this before we break to, and he said, "I've never seen more masturbation on 1.5 hour of television." You might have set a record for the number of people masturbating on one show.
Probably. There was five at once.
And definitely. Yeah.
My mother watched that episode yesterday.
Oh, no.
So, and I haven't received the call. My brother just told me that Mum watched it. And she's played in the episode.
Yes,
so I'm
that's
waiting
right.
For that phone call.
All right, more with our friend Jim Jefferies when we return right after this on the Kevin DeBean Show.
You can't waste another minute wasting water. Learn about turf removal rebates and more at BeWaterWise.com. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
I, for one, am going right to BeWaterWise.com.
Good for you,
tell you that.
That's my homepage.
I'm going to spend my day on it.
The great Jim Jefferies in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, one of the stars of Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 14. By the way, speaking of comedians, we've got Rob Delaney in studio with us tomorrow. You know Rob? You know Rob, Jim?
I've only met him the once, but
he's so funny. Kumail Nanjiani is going to be here on Wednesday, Adam Carolla Thursday, Nick Frost is going to be back on the show on Friday, and then Bob Saget next Monday. So we got a lot of great, funny people coming up this week on the Kevin DeBean Show.
You guys upset about Panette? You talked about that?
You know, we didn't know him, but yeah, anytime someone drops dead at 50 who was so well-loved in the show business
world. I was friends with John. I was
really?
Quite taken back by it. Yeah.
He's a very funny man. Now, for folks who don't know the name.
I don't know the name.
He was the guy probably most famous for being in the final Seinfeld. He's the guy who got carjacked that led to all the Seinfeld kids being thrown into jail for not helping.
He was in loads and loads of movies.
Loads of movies.
He played the French In Revenge of the Nerds 3, 4, 5, 6, he played the fat nerd.
Lisa, he was the John Travolta movie character from Hairspray on Broadway.
Yeah.
John Panette was. Edna Turnblad.
Oh, yeah.
That was him, too. So, yeah, he was found in a hotel at 50 dead this weekend.
He had problems with
his heart, wasn't it?
Prescription drugs and stuff over the years and different things. But he was a very, very sweet man, and it's super funny.
I'm sorry to hear that you were friends with him and you lost a friend.
Well, I knew him through going to the festivals and stuff. I was saying in your waiting room that there was one time I realized I had to lose weight. And that was when I went to dinner with John Panette and I finished his meal.
Hey, are you done? Because
I went, you're not going to eat that? I'll eat that. Get that over here. And that's when he was really trying to trim down. But my girlfriend knew him as well.
She probably had sex with him too, along with an NBA player, right?
She was in Rodney Dangerfield's last movie. Right, called My Five Wives, and my girlfriend was one of the five wives. It was a movie about...
Never heard of it.
Rodney Dangerfield buys a farm in Utah, and it comes with five wives.
Oh, my God.
And it was like...
old story?
He's, like, really old, and the girls were all, like, hot things in their early 20s. And it had Jerry Stiller and Dice Clay in it, and John Panette.
Okay. I have to see this movie now.
I rented it for 99 cents off iTunes. It was in their little bargain basement thing. And I, coincidentally, that's when I met my girlfriend. I went, you're from My Five Wives. I love that movie. And it's just a lot of, like, him just doing one-liners about sex. Oh, there's so many girls here. I'm getting jealous of a stiff wind. You know what I mean?
Hey, speaking of your girlfriend who you met on the set of your TV show, Legit.
Yes.
You were starting to tell us right before the break about your mom, who you've described as a humorless woman.
Humorless woman.
Yet she now watches your TV show, Legit, which is a huge hit in Australia as well.
Yeah.
And she has to see the way you portray her on the show with the actress playing her.
The actress who's playing her is a really famous Australian actress called Magda Sabansky, who the only time that she's ever been sort of known to Americans was she was the farmer's wife in the movie Babe.
Oh, great.
Right.
Babe, Pig in the City.
She's so good as your mom, though, in the hospital, the whole thing.
It's an exact impersonation.
It is. Is that an exaggeration?
No, I'm there going, all right. Like the excitement she got when she sees the ambulance show up. Yeah. My mother has a little bit of, she's a hypochondriac, but she also has a bit of Munchausen's about her as well. She always liked us to be sick as kids,
She liked you to be sick.
Yeah, because she wanted attention. Yeah.
How does that give her attention if you're sick?
I had allegedly every learning disability under the sun. Oh, Jim's can't read. And now I still have that bit of stigma about me that I feel that way, but I don't think I had anything wrong with me.
She was just making it up the whole time?
I was hocked up on Ritalin much throughout my childhood. It was kind of weird.
Do you ever get used to, even as a professional actor now, do you ever get used to thinking, hey, my mom is going to see this scene of me masturbating in the shower? How do you reconcile that in your head?
I would just tell
my mom to not watch my show is what I would do.
I made my mother stop coming to see my stand-up because the stand-up's worse than the TV show. And she used to come here, and I used to break out and sweat because she has an oxygen tank and a walking cane and she's 300 pounds and she sticks out.
Yeah.
And this thing.
Yeah.
Now, over the years, there was quite a popular joke I used to do about calling my mother Gunter because there was an elephant at the Moscow Circus called Gunter, and that was me and my brother's nickname. For her was Gunter for years. And so the last time she came to a show in Sydney and they all just started chanting Gunter at her. And you can't stop 1,000 people from saying that your mum looks like an elephant when you're the one who said she looks like
you started it.
And so my mum's like, why can't I come to your shows? I'm like, doing this for your benefit. I don't want you being harassed by my fans. Like,
I told my mom when she came to town that K-Rock doesn't come in at my house.
I'll tell you a story that happened the other day. So I'm in Australia with my mum and dad, and I'm telling this because I'm hoping that people won't put it on the internet and won't get back to my parents, so please be cool about this, right? But I was in Australia, I was filming a zombie movie. Now, my mother years ago ran up a whole heap of credit card debt and didn't tell my dad. And then my dad just found the bills and went, what? And had to work like a few years longer before he retired. It was like a horrific scene. And now they're on the pension. And the pension in Australia is, I don't know, like $300 a week each, right?
Right.
And they pull the money, and my dad takes care of the money. And then she goes, I want to take care of my money, and he can have his money, and we'll pay the bills, and then I can do whatever I want with my money. And I said, Mum, you know you can't handle money. You'll start shopping again and hoarding and all that type of stuff, and you'll spend it all. Dad has to take care of the money. And I'm in a very crowded bar, and my mum goes, oh, no, I don't. I'm not the one who wastes money anymore. Your father spends all the money. Tell him what you spend your money on. And I went, oh, it's okay. I don't have to know this.
Right.
Right?
Too private.
Tell him what you spend your money on. I went, okay, this is over. This conversation's over. Your father gets prostitutes.
Oh, no.
God. Wait, for real?
This is the conversation.
Is that why your dad on the show last week had to go right to the massage parlor?
Wait, this is the killer. I said, I don't want to hear this. Every Wednesday, your father goes off before he goes to bowls, and he gets a prostitute. And my father said this, not every Wednesday.
No attempt to say no to deny it.
People wonder where you get all this crazy stuff on your show, because you did that whole hoarding thing last season too.
Well, that was based on my mother as well. My mother hoards porcelain dolls. When I didn't come out a girl, she started collecting dolls.
To fill the emptiness in her heart for not having a girl.
Yeah, there's four boys in the house, so the house was overly girly with, like, creepy porcelain dolls. There'd always be one. Like, remember when you could put something on top of the television?
Yeah.
That was a gone era. But you used to. So there was always, you'd be watching TV, but you'd also be reminded that this creepy thing was
sitting looking at you.
And for years, there was like a Shirley Temple wing. Of the living room. Like, we only lived in a little house, but, like, there was a little corner that just had little Shirley
Temple dolls. Like, dozens of little dolls.
And my mum seemed to think that these were going to make millions of dollars and go up in value, and then that was their retirement. But she bought at the top of the market. She bought when all the creepy women of her generation still liked Shirley Temple and collected. There's no young girls that are like, oh, I wonder where I can buy myself.
Hey, we talked last year, Jim, about a Southern California guy, remember, who spent all of his kids' college money to buy Beanie Babies, thinking it was going to be the investment that was going to set them up for life. And now you know what he's got? A house full of Beanie Babies that are worth nothing.
Because they go down in value.
Exactly, yeah.
What's coming up on the season?
Okay, well, we're off to Afghanistan on Wednesday.
Afghanistan?
Yeah, we're going to go off and do a gig. And that's based on a routine. There's only about 2 minutes. It's based on a routine when I saw a guy getting shot from a helicopter after a joke that I made, which is something that happened to me in Afghanistan.
Oh, my God.
there was a guy on the ground with a handgun shooting at the helicopter, and I went, we're being fired on. And the guy was like, oh, don't worry about it. It's a handgun. We're so high up, the bullets can't even reach us. And I jokingly went, oh, I bet our bullets can reach him. And the guy went, oh, yeah, winked at me and then killed the guy.
Oh, my God.
This is after you killed a guy doing stand-up earlier in the season, by the way.
So
Jim is the deadliest comedian working today.
That's correct.
So we got that one. And then we got Carrie Fisher episode coming up, which is...
Does she play herself?
No, she plays an agent.
Okay.
Yeah, and I can't give too much away, but it's very interesting. And she's great to have around. She'll tell you stories and you'll just be like... So she'll go, my stepmother did this. And you go, Elizabeth Taylor. That's who you're talking about, right?
Right.
But there's one time when she goes, I was talking about my mother on Kimmel. And she said, my mom's really angry because I talked about her on Kimmel. And then she goes, my mother is the same way. She gets so angry. Right? That's how she talks now, right? She gets so angry when I... And I go, are you comparing Debbie Reynolds to my mother? Like, that so classy weird. Style of a woman against Gunter? Like, come on. Because Debbie Reynolds, I don't know, she's like old, but you look at her like she's still got a bit of a swagger about her.
Right.
Do you know who I was going to bring to foolishness that couldn't go because it was just too late? I had on my guest list Norman Lear.
What? Wow, TV, really? TV legend, creator of All in the Family.
He likes legit, and he asked to be again. And so right up until the last minute, I found Norman was a bit too tired. He's like 92.
Yeah,
or
I was going to say he's got to be getting up there.
Yeah, like, this is how old he is. He discovered B. Arthur.
Okay.
When you put that into context, B. Arthur's lived a lifetime and died, and he's still going. That puts Mickey Rooney to shame.
FXX Wednesday nights, Jim Jefferies Show Legit. I'm telling you, we loved the first season. The second season is even better.
It is better.
Every week, you amaze me with how good this show is. And people need to be watching the show en masse. They really do.
Well, hopefully. The ratings are going up. We needed to go up a couple more weeks because they were meant to renew us or cancel us last week, and they've put it on hold.
We cannot allow that, Jim.
I think they're waiting just to see, but it's not over yet.
We are going to burn this mother down if they cancel Legit. I'm serious.
They did change it from FX. To FXX.
Yes, we're 1X away from a porn parody.
That's right.
which is what I really want. I need to go at least 5 seasons to get a porn parody out there. Be a French thing.
Yeah, that's what you meant.
Mindy Sterling was sitting there. Now, Mindy Sterling plays one of the mothers on the show, and Mindy Sterling was obviously from the Austin Powers movies, played Dr. Evil's wife.
Right.
And I said to her, oh, I wonder if we could ever get a porn parody. Because Legit would be the best porn parody ever because you'd have Rodney and a guy in a wheelchair.
Absolutely.
It's a great porn parody waiting to happen.
Come on, Hollywood. Listen up. Make that happen.
She goes, I don't know if it's Hollywood that does that.
Yeah, maybe not. Come on, San Fernando Valley. Listen up. Make it happen.
So then I go. She goes, what are you talking about? I go, you're a porn parody. I'm like, well,
you know, this ain't Gilligan's Island, that sort of thing.
They like the thing. She goes, they do that?
She didn't know they did porn parodies?
Yeah, and then I pulled up on the phone. It turns out there's like 3 Austin Power porn parodies. And I just sat there just showing people dressed as her having sex or lunch. She's like, I can't believe this. I think this woman looks like me. I think you should be happy. This girl's like 24.
Jim, you're the best, man.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks again for Saturday night. Thanks again for the great season of Legit. Wednesday nights on FXX at 10. And I know you're going back to Australia. Have fun. We'll see you again.
I am going back to Australia.
Talk to you soon, man.
Thanks, guys.
Got your Coachella tickets that you can win at 9 o'clock again this morning. And keep on at krock.com for all the details about us broadcasting live at the K-Rock House throughout the weekend. What?
Coachella
is this weekend. I know it
is. Friday.
I know, dude. It's coming up.
That's awesome.
Hey, speaking of things that are coming up, how about this? The Crest Theater in Westwood, for 1 week only, starting this Saturday, will be showing a film called Bad Country. Now, I don't know why everyone in America isn't talking about this movie, because if you've seen this trailer, you go, I need to see that movie.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Unbelievable cast. Willem Dafoe is in it. Matt Dillon, Neil McDonough and his creepy eyes. Amy Smart. And the great Tom Berenger, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now to talk Bad Country. Hey, Tom, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you. You're a guy who's been in so many great movies over the year. I imagine you have your pick of the litter. But you see this cast and how awesome this story looks, and you think, I got to get me a piece of that.
Well, it was kind of fun, a reunion of some sorts, because Willem, I hadn't seen, since Platoon days till 2006 in Cannes, where they did a 20th anniversary. And so it was great, and I met his wife, who's Italian, and we had a dinner the night before I left, and I have seen them twice in New York since, and then, of course, we did the movie in Louisiana year and a half ago, I guess, something like that, and then probably see him in June.
Wow, so you're old friends. That's great.
Is it difficult to get a movie like this out there when you got the studios promoting so heavily so many other movies?
I don't know. I really don't know.
We live in a Captain America world right now, and sometimes great movies like Bad Country looks like it's tough to get on people's radar now.
Yeah, it probably is, and I'll go on record saying this is I'm really glad it's the final curve towards the end. I wouldn't want to be doing this for a living anymore.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't like where it's gone. And I guess, do people say that every generation? I don't think so, Because I worked with Rod Steiger and Charlton Heston and all those people, and they didn't seem to be that way at the time.
That's interesting. That's interesting to hear you say that. And when you say that, you mean just being an actor is more difficult now, or trying to make money as making a movie is more difficult now?
Both. Yeah. It seemed like there for a while, it seemed like Gene Hackman was the only character actor
that's true.
Was working all the time.
He was in everything.
Now De Niro's in there, so he's got a little competition, but it's all, and then it's just like he's disappeared the last couple of years, but I find out he's writing books.
Oh, how about that?
But I mean, I go, well, he can't be sick. He's a really healthy guy, you know, plays tennis, stays in shape, and all that kind of stuff. And
but, Tom, you've never run into a patch of being out of work. I mean, you have been one of those guys who has worked consistently, sometimes in projects that are more high profile than others, but you've always worked, right?
Yeah.
And then every once in a while, something like
not always for the same money, but you know.
Sometimes then something like Hatfields and McCoys comes along, and everybody goes, "Oh my God! I remember what a great actor this dude is." I mean,
that was really, first of all, it's just great to be a part of.
Yeah, yeah,
so much fun. And I was there like 13 weeks, I guess, 12 or 13, and it was 14 altogether. And it had this great ensemble cast, and it was just so much fun. You know, all those guys were fabulous. And I ran into one of them in Charleston the other day on the street.
That's small world.
Matt Barr, who played John Z, one of my lover boy nephew, not the one, not the killer one,
right?
That runs with me all the time. But yeah,
talking to actor Tom Berenger on the phone right now on the Kevin Bean Show about his Bad Country movie again. That's going to be showing at the Crest Theater in Westwood starting this weekend. Then it's available on Blu-ray and DVD and digital at the end of the month. What's great about this movie, though, is it looks kind of film noirish a little bit. It has some of our favorite things that we love, which includes hitmen and includes people, you know, becoming informants for the police. And it just looks like everybody's double-crossing everybody, and there's nothing more fun than a movie where you just can't figure out who's on what side.
Well, it's the original title was Whiskey Bay, which is a kind of a bayou down there.
Right.
Where bodies get thrown and stuff, and I kind of preferred that title, but... it is Louisiana.
Sure.
And it's the 60s. It's based on a real story.
Yeah, and that was back when the lawmen didn't have as much oversight, and they kind of create their own environments and make their own rules a little bit. And everything wasn't by the book.
Yeah, you remember Serpico.
Right.
All those, and particularly the guys on the drug teams that had to go undercover all the time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's
all very scary, risky stuff. You know?
It just looks so so well done, too. Now, did you know Matt Dillon before?
Yeah, and this is interesting because I had met Matt in 1980. I was doing an Italian film with Marcello Mastroianni in Rome and then in Marrakesh. I was in Marrakesh for about 6 weeks, I think, and then went back to Rome again. And so I'm down there with the Italians doing this movie, and then a friend of mine who's a kind of really renowned photojournalist was over there covering the war, and he called me from Rabat, the capital, and said he wanted to come down, and he said, could I get him a room for a couple of days? I said, sure. So he came down, stayed with me. They had this great piano bar with this old black American guy.
Yeah.
You know what this is sounding like here? And I said,
Casablanca.
Did you go from the States here to America? He goes, no, I went to Paris. to Marrakesh, to Morocco. I went, okay. And yes, he did play as time goes by. Anyway, we're there. At the same time that he's there, Matt Dillon comes in with his manager. They've been over in Europe doing something. And I go, what are you doing here? Working? He goes, no, just a couple days and then just wanted to see Morocco and then back to New York. I never saw him again, although I did work with his brother, Kevin, on Platoon.
Right.
Bunny in Platoon, and never saw him again. It's, 30 years later or something? Or no, longer. I don't know. Anyway, there he is on the film, first day, and I quizzed him, and he remembered, you know, my friend David Kennerly. He remembered everything exactly as it was.
How about that?
And the piano player.
See, not everyone did drugs in the 60s. Some people kept their minds intact.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, Tom, you gotta write a book. Or, I mean, you joked about the other guy writing a book. You gotta write a book or something because you have worked with everybody. You've been in so many amazing movies, and I bet you just have the best stories. You should totally do that.
Me that she says, look at all these different people: Suzanne Plachette, John Cassavetes. It just goes on and on and on. And she says, you ought to write, you know, just an interesting little stories.
Yeah, do it, man.
Happened and.
Well, we're out of time, unfortunately, but the movie does look awesome. Again, it is called Bad Country. You can see it in Westwood starting this week for just a week. You can buy it at the end of the month or watch it on the iTunes. It looks awesome with a great cast. Tom Berenger, a pleasure to have you on, sir. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:57.
How about some more showbiz beat for you on a Monday? Here's Ralph Garman. Was your mic that on?
I'm tired.
It was on.
Okay.
It was barely on. It was sort of on.
It was barely on.
It was barely.
Go to a rock show, come home with measles.
Measles?
That's a terrible campaign, Ralph.
The new advertising campaign for Kings of Leon.
Ruh-roh.
If you went to see Kings of Leon on March the 28th at the Key Arena in Seattle, Washington,
Ruh-roh.
You may have measles.
Dude.
Washington State Department of Health discovered a woman who went to that concert was already contagious with measles. So if you were there, go see your health professional now!
Is that the kind of germ that is so contagious that you could be in a room of 20,000 people and a lot of people could be infected?
Everyone probably has it now that was there. And they're probably all dead.
Wow.
That's true. They've all died by now.
Measles will kill you.
Okay.
Seattle blows. Nothing good ever comes out of Seattle, by the way. Just a pox and pestilence and evil.
And the world champion Seattle Seahawks, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay! And serial killers all over the place.
Serial killers. Right.
You know what I mean.
Yes, I do know what you mean. All the serial killers.
Serial killers.
Our buddies Key and Peele are busy. Just announced that they will be rebooting Police Academy.
Okay.
Key and Peele will be producing that. And I was not looking forward to the reboot of Police Academy.
But Me neither.
Now I think maybe it might be funny.
I agree.
Because those guys are funny. So it's good news.
You can pull it off, probably.
Yeah.
Bobcat, get off the phone. We might be trying to call you.
Movies over the weekend. Captain America the Winter Soldier did very well for itself, making just a hair shy of $100 million this opening weekend.
It's not bad.
Not bad at all. Everything else paled in comparison. Noah, which was second at the box office, only made $17 million. Then Divergent, God's Not Dead, and the Grand Budapest Hotel was fifth. Muppets Most Wanted, Mr. Peabody, and Sherman Sabotage. Need for Speed and Nonstop with the rest of your top 10 movies at the box office.
I heard another story this morning about more countries banning Noah, by the way, not allowing it to open there, like in Malaysia. I mean, big, huge countries with a big movie-going audience. The film company has to be so ticked off about that.
Because it doesn't follow the Bibles?
No, because the mostly Muslim countries object to any profit being shown on film. They don't believe in any prophets being shown because they don't want people to worship people rather than gods.
Was Noah a prophet?
Yes, apparently Noah was a prophet.
Hmm.
But that's taking money away from the film when you start going, hey, this hugely populous country, you don't get to play here.
Ah, they'll be all right. Who's the number one candidate to take over for David Letterman when he leaves in 2015 from his long-running CBS late-night show? Well, according to two websites, including
Deadline.
No, she's not in the running, actually. Deadline, Mashable, they're all calling Stephen Colbert the front runner.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Here's the interesting part. According to Mashable sources, Colbert was already talking to CBS before Letterman announced his retirement.
Apparently, they
wanted to get in business with Stephen Colbert. His Comedy Central contract is up at the end of this year, 2014. And Letterman plans to leave, as they said, in 2015. So it looks like Colbert wants to make the jump to network television.
I think that's a great choice.
I do, too.
But I think he would have to drop the Colbert character.
And they're saying he would.
And just be a dude.
He would be himself.
Yeah.
Very, very funny guy. And he's a great interviewer. Even when he's in character as that right-wing nut job that he plays on the Colbert Report, he is a great interviewer.
I like it.
And I think it would be the best of all possible worlds. So
I hope that's true. And I also learned this weekend, Ralph, have you heard this, that Craig Ferguson gets paid millions of dollars if he's not named the successor to David Letterman.
He's got in his contract they call a Prince of Wales clause, which means if the king dies, you ascend to the throne. Unless they don't want you to, and then it's pay or play. Then fine, just pay me my money and I'll
go
away. Is
that right?
So he can't lose. Yeah.
Wow.
And neither can Parker Lewis, who's also in the run.
F-I-L-E with extreme prejudice.
Oh, easy, Bellamy Brothers. Why don't you just pipe down?
Hey, that's enough from you, Richard Marks.
Although I will say this, that didn't, I don't think it warranted that kind of reaction. I don't know what Muggs, Muggs almost died back there laughing.
Something for the kids. Today's celebrity birthdays. Bill Bellamy's 49 years old today. He, of course, on the greatest TV series ever, Fastlane.
Sure.
The two cops.
Was he Glick?
He was a Clurf.
Clurf. That's right.
Clurf and Glick. I still don't remember anymore what their characters really were named, but I just remember they were two names that did not exist in nature.
Right. Couldn't we revisit the Ralph's Video Vault and do some Fastlane? I would love to be reminded of how great that show
was. Actually, it was a pretty good show. I enjoyed it, but I just remember it was like Deke and Vlow or something. They had names like that no one really ever had. Russell Crowe's 50. Jackie Chan. Hey-ya! 60 years old. Where is Jackie Chan now? He was so busy.
What is he doing?
He's writing a book with Tom Berenger.
Yeah.
James Garner, one of my favorite actors of all time, is 86 years old today. Hall & Oates fame, John Oates. He always gets the short shrift when it comes to that band.
Sure.
What a mustache, huh? He's 65 years old.
That's what matters.
Is that a title? Am I missing something?
No, I thought you were shooting for something for the file, and I missed it. He's not the guy who writes or sings, but at least he's got that powerful mustache.
Is there a Hall & Oates song called That's What Matters?
No, not at all.
Man, see what you've done to me? You got me reading and everything now.
Say it isn't so.
And I can't go for that.
say it isn't so.
And then I can't go for that.
Francis Ford Coppola, movie director, 75.
Hey, Uncle Ralph.
Yeah.
I've heard of Wonder Falls.
WonderCon.
I've heard of the Wonder Pets.
Does whatever
I've heard of
a Wonder can.
The Wonder Bra. I've heard of Wonder Woman. What the hell is WonderCon?
WonderCon is an amazing comic book convention, pop culture convention, that goes on each and every year. And this year it's going to be in lovely Anaheim. I think it started in San Francisco, but now it's in Anaheim, California.
I'm the king of the geeks. How do I not know about WonderCon?
I know. You're geeking out. it'll be April 18th through the 20th. April 18th, 19th, and 20th. And or is it 19, 20, 21?
It's 18, 19, 20.
18 to 20. 19,
there we go. It's an amazing event. I will be down there first time this year as a participant. I will be moderating the panel for 20th Century Fox. They're going to be showing clips from their amazing movies that are coming out, including X-Men, Days of Future Past.
Fantastic.
Awesome. Nice. And I will also be on the panel celebrating the 75th anniversary of a character known as Batman. It's his 75th anniversary this year.
It's one of the minor comic book characters they haven't done much with.
I'll be on the panel this year talking about my upcoming comic book, Batman 66 Meets the Green Hornet.
You're just going to be so happy.
I'm just going to take off my clothes and just roll around.
Yeah, you're just going to be going, my life rules right now. Yeah,
so we have contestants on the line. All they know so far is call if you know superheroes. But now you unveil something specific that you're looking for.
I thought since it's all about the superheroes and the comic books at WonderCon this year, I would do a little challenge to see if you know superheroes that have colors in their names. Superheroes with colors in their names. For example, I'm not going to ask you this one, but Green Lantern, for example, would be a superhero who has a color actually in his name.
Sure.
So we want you to know, do you know your superhero colors?
Color, color, superhero, color, color. I am a hero walking, superpowers talking. Wear my super suit, these are tights, not stockings. Living life like a hero, cause that's what I do. My outfit's super pimpin', the colors I choose. Black or green, battle Hulk, it just don't matter. We will die to save your life, watch the bad guys scatter. Color. Is there a hero that uses tie-dye? He'd be a really cool guy.
Yeah.
Color, superhero, color. Color.
Superhero. Superhero.
Color.
Color. Superhero. Thank you, Omar.
Color.
Thank you.
Omar is the white iced tea. I appreciate that. All right. So 1-800-520-1067. Superhero colors. That's what we're looking for here for WonderCon tickets in Anaheim. Up first, I believe, is going to be Jesse on line one.
Hi, Jesse.
Hello.
Hey, Jesse. Here's your question. There have been four fictional superheroes that have appeared in American comic books since 1939 that have had this name. Most recently, Ted Kord and Jaime Reyes.
Jaime Reyes.
Jaime Reyes currently is this superhero right now. Ted Kord was just before him, but this hero has been around for a long time in various incarnations. Has a color in his name.
Yeah.
The Blue Beetle. The Blue Beetle.
Oh, the Blue Beetle. Come on, Jesse. You're not even trying.
For God's sake.
Love the Blue Beetle.
What's wrong with you?
I love Blue
Beetle.
Let's
go to Pete. Hi, Pete.
Yeah.
Hey, yes. Pete. This billionaire businessman and well-known celebrity in his hometown of Star City is also an Archer Avenger protecting that city.
Ooh, Green Arrow.
Green Arrow. Done. Well done.
Congratulations, you got tickets.
You're going to WonderCon.
Let's go to one of the ladies on the line, Kevin.
Stop
We've already
it.
Heard from Jesse and from Pete. Just pick any of the girls that are calling to win this contest.
There aren't any, so let's go to Scott. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Very good.
Hey, Scott, speaking of the ladies, this superhero is the daughter of Magneto, twin sister of Quicksilver, and paternal half-sister of Polaris.
Scarlet Witch.
The Scarlet Witch. Well done, sir. You're going to you're going to WonderCon.
All right, let's go to Jake. Hello.
Hello.
Jake? Yeah. This superhero, whose real name is T'Challa, first appeared in Fantastic Four in 1966 in Fantastic Four number 52, the first black superhero in mainstream American comics. His secret identity is T'Challa.
Black Panther.
Well done, sir.
Wow, nice. I would have been against him pulling that one out.
He sounded so racist to me. I really did not think there was any chance he was going to get that. All right, so that's three winners. Only got one more pair of tickets, Rob. Right.
We have four total. Let's go to Paul. Hello.
Hi.
Paul, this character is an android that was created by the supervillain T.O. Morrow. Oh, I hate T.O. Morrow.
Oh, me too.
But he ended up being a member of the Justice League of America.
There is a color in the name, if you've forgotten that, by the way.
The Red Tornado. Red Tornado is what we're looking
for. Thanks, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry about that.
We almost gave him enough time to Google it. Almost.
Almost. Wilson, hi.
Hi.
Hey, Wilson. This superhero started off as a harbinger of the planet destroyer Galactus before he became a good guy.
The Silver Surfer.
Silver Surfer, Wilson.
Come on, sir.
There you go.
You
there's your four pair.
Your superhero colors. I'm
about
impressed.
That. Thank you for playing.
Colors. Superhero. Colors. Colors.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
Hey.
Hey.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
One more look at the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph Garman.
It is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Captain America, The Winter Soldier. Number one at the box office by a long shot, $96.2 million. That was its take just for the weekend. Add that to the other over $100 million it made overseas. It makes it a $200 million movie in a week.
It's pretty good.
Not too shabby.
You know what's nice, though, is there are lots of those big franchise, big money-making movies, but these Marvel movies are actually good.
Yeah, they really are good.
On top of being all the things you want in your summer blockbuster, and that's to the Marvel's credit, man.
They got it. I'm a DC guy by nature, but Marvel sure knows what they're doing when it comes to the movies. Noah was second, made $17 million. Divergent made $13 million, made it number three. God's Not Dead and the Grand Budapest Hotel rounded out the top five. Muppets Most Wanted, Mr. Peabody and Sherman were at six and seven. Then Sabotage, Need for Speed, and Nonstop. That's your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. A couple of notable passings over the weekend. Mickey Rooney, longtime box office star in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s.
That's crazy.
He had a career that lasted 80 years in movies, 200 films to his credit.
He was 15 months old when he started, by the way, Mickey Rooney.
In show business?
Yeah.
On stage?
Yeah.
Yeah. He had showbiz parents, didn't he? Isn't that
yes,
how it all
that's right.
started to happen? And John Panette, the very funny comedian, also passed away at the age of 50 this weekend. It was just surreal because John Panette was the 8 o'clock show at Irvine this weekend, and Kevin Smith and I did the 10 o'clock.
Is that
show.
Right?
Yeah, he went on just before us at the Irvine Improv. So sad news that he's gone. He was a very funny guy, and by all accounts, a very nice guy as well. Miley Cyrus is a little bit happier now. She's got a new puppy. After her beloved dog Floyd died last week and she could barely perform on stage. She was breaking down crying on stage because her dog died.
Yeah, she tried to dedicate a song to him in concert.
Couldn't
make it through it.
But now she's got a new puppy named Mooney.
Mooney?
Mooney.
Mooney.
Now, are you guys of the stripe that goes out and gets another dog within 5 hours of your last dog dying? Or do you need a little room to breathe,
a little time
to mourn,
yeah.
start over again in a while?
I think you should have 20, 30 dogs in any one time. So when one dies, you don't do it. You barely even miss
it. Good idea. It's a good policy.
You're relieved. this puppy was bought for her by her mom, apparently, because she was so despondent over the death of Floyd. Now she has, she said, I woke up this morning to Mooney kisses. His mom threw the dog in her bed while she was sleeping, hoping it would pee on her. This is an odd pairing. Well, pairing, it's not a pairing. It's a group of people performing together that you probably would never guess would ever perform together. It's a cast of Jesus Christ Superstar, which has toured all over the world as a very popular musical.
It's one of the early Andrew Lloyd Webber musicals, right?
That's right. It was one of the first rock opera Broadway musicals as well. It eschewed a traditional Broadway style lyrics and songs for a more rock-oriented sound, and now they've got an amazing cast touring all over North America this
summer.
Bill
Bixby.
Bill Bixby is not in this production. Michelle Williams of Destiny's Child is. She's playing Mary Magdalene. J.C. Chazet of NSYNC is Pontius Pilate. Brandon Boyd of Incubus takes on the role of Judas.
Wow.
Ben Forster, the British actor and singer, will play Jesus. And then Johnny Rotten of the Sex Pistols will be King Herod in the production.
What?
It's an odd grouping of people from all different kinds of musical styles banding together to perform in Jesus Christ Superstar.
Will Glenda be there?
Glenda will not be in this particular cast. The tour begins June 9th in New Orleans and wraps up on August the 16th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. JesusChristSuperstar.com is where you can go to get more info to see if it's playing anywhere near us. You can check it out. But I'd like to see that just to see those people on stage together.
Yeah, what
right?
A strange mixture.
What a weird batch. Rob Lowe complains that no one takes him serious because he's so good-looking.
Oh, trust me. Man, is that a hassle.
Told the New York Times this weekend there's an unbelievable bias and prejudice against quote-unquote good-looking people.
Right, Kevin?
Oh, my God, I'm tired.
No one took me seriously as a young actor because I was so goddamn pretty.
Freaking piece of meat. Tired of it.
I felt bad. He's got a new movie coming out with Cameron Diaz called Sex Tape.
Mm-hmm.
And he says his own video scandal. Remember that sex tape he had that came out with that girl?
Yeah, he was in Atlanta, and she was like convention? 16 or something,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He said it was the greatest thing that ever happened to him because it pushed him into sobriety.
Oh.
That's the thing that made him get clean and sober. So.
By the way, he's 50 or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it really looks better now than 10 years ago and 20 years ago,
yeah.
Which is kind of shocking.
It's disgusting is what it is. And Fox reportedly has a new idea for a reality show called Couples Retreat. On the show, each member of a couple would go on a fantasy weekend with a member of the opposite sex from another couple that's also having problems. Well, what could go wrong here?
Wow.
I'm sure this will help those couples solve their problems
sure.
And stay together. Yeah, they'll take the guy and the girl who are having problems, and they'll pair them up with another guy or girl that's having problems from a different couple, and then send them off on a romantic fantasy weekend.
Are you supposed to appreciate your own spouse because you're hooked up with somebody who's awful?
I guess. Or you're just supposed to bone somebody new, I guess. Maybe
okay, get out of your system and come back home.
Yeah, that's how it works.
That's a terrible idea.
The show's already reached the casting phase, so if you're in a relationship and you'd like to bone someone else,
out of trouble,
get a hold of Fox. Sounds like that's your option right there. Zac Efron's people are worried about him. Star Magazine has pictures of the actor smoking from a strange pipe, they're calling it. Ooh, that strange pipe.
Probably just an e-cigarette, Ralph.
That's sure, that's what it is. He's riding shotgun in his friend's car when the photos were taken. But his people deny the rumor that there's any drug problem with Zac Efron. There is a rumor he's already headed back to rehab, but they say that's not the case. He's fine, and he's just smoking out of a strange pipe.
A lot of information about this particular topic and this person.
Just a strange pipe. That's all it is. And Homeland is going to South Africa. Claire Danes' character, CIA officer Claire Carrie Matheson is being assigned to Cape Town for season 4, which begins later this year. So apparently a change in venue for Homeland, hoping to give it a little juice, give it a little goose, a little juice goose.
Is there going to be some couscous with that?
It's faltered a little bit. And they're hoping to bring it back to its former glory. Today's celebrity birthday is James Garner, one of my favorites. Rockford Files, Maverick, Victor Victoria did in the movies. 86 years old today. Bill Bellamy. 49 years old. Russell Crowe turns 50. Jackie Chan is 60 years old today. Hall and Oates, singer-guitarist John Oates is 65. Francis Ford Coppola celebrates his 75th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take care off tomorrow morning. All new Kevin and Bean Show. Bean's Death Corner will be here. We also have your tickets for the MTV Movie Awards tomorrow
movie.
Morning. We have comedian Rob Delaney in the studio talking about the LA Times Festival of Books.
Of course we do.
Now that you've told me that, I can't wait to hear it, Kevin.
I hope we talk a lot about those books.
Way to sell it. Couldn't you see that and go, maybe that's not the selling point. Maybe I leave that out.
Just don't point it out.
Maybe
so people
we're
don't
happy
know.
To have him in, but not for that.
He's funny.
He's a great guy.
Listening went, oh.
And we've got your tickets for Coachella as well at 9.